This show is brought to you by Next Issue. Next Issue is the mobile app that lets you tap directly into the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. The best part is Next Issue is offering a free trial right now when you go to nextissue.com/Joey. Honestly, it's a great app. I downloaded it on my iPhone. They have literally every magazine you could ever want. You download back issues. You can search through the articles. So you have to like flip through pages. And it's a full, it's not like text of the magazine. It's like a full color scan, essentially, of the magazine. It's great. Go to nextissue.com/Joey, and they're giving you a free trial. Show is also brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, StreamTech Immune, StreamTech Sport. It's code word CHURCH to get 10% off. Show is also brought to you by NailedItLife.com. Go to NailedItLife.com for the premier vapor pen on the market for all the oil and wax smokers. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off of your order. And if you live in California, Nailed It Life is also the makers of Los Gumis Hermanos, one of the best edibles on the market. It'll get you fucked up. You have to live in California. Contact Nailed It Life, also makers of Los Gumis Hermanos. And the show is brought to you by HitEcigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars. My dad went bananas over them. He ordered like 10 of them using the code word Joey's Church to get 5 for 50. He loves them. He doesn't stop smoking e-cigarettes, and he loved it. So go to HitEcigs.com and use code word Joey's Church.
Oh shit. It's a Monday night. A fucked up Monday night. It's a star, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How many stars did you eat, Ryan Sickle?
You gave me two.
Did you eat them both?
I ate them both.
You're a fucking savage. Lee had three. The Church of What's Happening Now, Ryan Sickle, Lee Syatt. Just when you thought it was fucking safe, you're sitting there going, where the fuck did I fuck up? Kick that shit, Lee. The Church of What's Happening Now, bitches. Monday, August 10th, the day the devil was buried at sea, fucked in the ass, raped, lit on fire. Then they shot him in the head in Ferguson, Missouri. Fuck it. Let's do this shit, cocksuckers. Let's go. Brothers got to work it out. Ferguson. Time to start shooting some fucking people. It's all over. They shot 60 fucking bullets in, what, 2 seconds last night?
Oh, really?
They had submachine guns down there. The fucking the chief of police, that never calmed down. It never calmed down. It never is. Because every time something happens somewhere else in the country, a little spark happens there. They don't forget that. That's the Midwest. It's not like they're living it up like the fucking Kardashians and their dads switching pussies. You know what I'm saying? They don't have much. So when you don't have much, you get stuck on the same fucking song and dance, my friend.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard for Ryan and I to really understand. Is it that terrible being a minority in America? I think for white people, we know it, but we really don't.
It depends where you live, Lee. It depends where you live. Ferguson, Missouri is probably the equivalent to, you know, something like Harlem. I've never been there. It's like any other place, USA, where they have an African-American fucking community. And then inside the African-American community, they have three blocks of fucking hell where people go to buy crack and there's hookers and God knows what else is down there. And listen, man.
I mean, I'll say this too. You know,
you're
from
Baltimore.
Well, and let's be honest.
Let's go. You know,
I am from Baltimore, but when I say Baltimore, not those neighborhoods of Baltimore. You know what I mean? So I can't speak intelligently on what's going on. Just because you're from a city doesn't mean you can speak intelligently on what's going on in those, you know, pockets and those areas of that city.
Yeah, people always ask me.
I don't hang out. When people hear Baltimore, they think The Wire.
Yeah.
I have never hung out in a neighborhood like that. I mean, they're there. That's all real, but I'm saying I don't go into those neighborhoods. There's no reason for me to be in those neighborhoods.
Right.
I can't tell you what's going on in those neighborhoods.
People always ask me when they hear Boston, is Boston racist? And I've heard stories, and I'm sure in some parts it is. But
just the white people.
Just the white. I never saw it, but then again, I'm white as fuck, and I probably wouldn't see it.
When somebody says racist, it's the five guys in the bar giggling, and all of a sudden they say, oh, did you see that nigga chick last night? Is it that type of racist, or is it racist that people actually put a fucking hood on and go out and pick fights? No. Boston, everybody gets along because you got black guys in the Boston Celtics. See, once the fucking black guys got put on the Boston Celtics.
And Big Poppy.
That's it. Well, that's it. That was it. They were like, you know what? I don't know about these black dudes, but they could play. Let's give them a fucking chance. You know, but in all seriousness, I mean, in 1985, I used to hang out in San Francisco. And I used to hang out with these Cuban refugees. Cubans had just come over, and they were putting them in different pockets. And I remember that there was this one guy that they would give you 20 nickel bags. And let's say at $5 a piece, it comes out to $125 or something. They would give you like $50 out of the $125. And there were days when I was broke, and I'd just go out there and just to hang out with the guys. You could do 25 nickel bags in an hour. You know, just to hang out with the guys, I'd say, give me a thing, and they'd give them to you. And you'd hide them. You'd hide them under bumpers, you know, in cars. You'd hide them. So if the cops come, you could just, you know, you don't have them on you.
Right.
And listen, man, every four fucking days, cops pulled up. And I'm a white fucking dude on paper until you take my license. It says Jose Diaz. In those days, I didn't carry a license. But my point is they would just pull up and jump out of cars and throw you against a wall. It's tough to be a cop in America.
Yeah,
And what's gotten taken away from the cops when I was banging heads and I was out there getting pulled over and robbing and all that shit is the sense of community. Okay, so Ryan lives where?
Now?
Yeah.
Santa Monica.
Okay, so you live in Santa Monica. You come up to the valley tomorrow. Let me see how I could do this. Okay, you live in Santa Monica. You live on a block that there's a Ralph's and all this shit. And there's a neighborhood cop. Same fucking cop. Same fucking cop that's been there for years. And he sees you and he waves at your kids. And sometimes he pulls over and you get in the car and let the kid fucking beep the horn. And, you know. But you know him. His name is Phil, Officer fucking Jones. And you get to know him 3-4 fucking years. Now, God forbid you come up to the valley. You come up to the valley one day. We're all hanging out. And on the way out the door, you get into an argument with some kid. And you smack him and you get in the car and the kid takes your license plate. They go up to the valley here in North Hollywood. They do the paperwork. They come down to Santa Monica to put that warrant. Guess who's coming to your house with the cops from the valley? Officer Smith, because that's his neighborhood. And guess what Officer Smith is going to do? The guys that are coming down.
Phil.
Phil.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Officer Phil. That's what we said he was.
Yeah. Okay, Officer Phil Smith. Officer Phil. The cops that are coming from the valley, they're coming from the valley with one side of a story in their head. Do you follow me? They're coming from the story that some kid was walking down the block on a skateboard and my man fucking Ryan just bit-slapped him and got in his car.
And the cops could know that guy from the valley.
Okay.
So it could be like his
right. So what a shame. The kid's a great kid. So now they're coming down here with what? With blood in their eyes. All right? But guess who stops them?
Phil.
Officer Phil goes, hold on one second. They knock on his door. I got to come with you. And he explains to him, this has to be a misunderstanding. I know him. I know his wife. I know his kids. He's a stand-up comic. He's a decent guy. So now the blood gets tamed. They want to hear your side of the story. They'll take you down booking. So you understand me, you had that type of relationship with the police officers. I don't know what's happened the last 10 years. I'm not out there. But I know there's no relationship with police officers. There's no more neighborhood cop. So I know what a black neighborhood is. I went into them to get drugs. And I know how they shake you down. You know, in the old days, they'd have gun on their holsters. Now they're coming out shooting guys. And if they see any infraction, how many shootings have you seen the last 3 years? And you're like, where's the justification for this fucking shooting?
A lot.
Where's the justification for this fucking shooting? There's none. He got on the floor, and the guy, what's the one? The guy shot him a couple weeks ago, the kid in Cincinnati.
I can't look at the stories anymore.
Yeah, it's one dude, he told him to reach for his license. He went to reach for it, then he shot him, and he even said, he's hit. He's like, you told me to go for my license, I'm getting my license, yeah.
So who the fuck knows the pressures it is to be a cop?
But also, I've never been a cop. When you watch these videos, for me at least, when I see a cop's body cam, and I see it from their point of view, to me, at any moment, it's like the end of Sopranos. Who's it going to be that's going to, you know what I mean? I think it's so heightened right now that I'd be scared out there. I'd definitely be scared.
If I got pulled over today, I'd be scared.
Yeah. I'd be the cop, too, petrified. Though. I mean, I'd be scared if I was the cop, too.
I would put my hands right out the fucking window.
Yeah.
and let the body, the cam watch it, put my hands out the window. You know, I would do everything. Just, I was thinking about it the other day. What if I get pulled over at night when I'm coming home from the Comedy Store? I would just, as soon as I open my window and put my hands on the window.
I'm with you.
And that's it. That's the end of the
story. Then when they
story.
Get there, can I reach for my license?
Can I reach for my
I'm
license?
I'm reaching for my license. I'm the same way.
But even if there, even if things weren't heightened, when isn't there always going to be some sort of like tension between the cops and I don't want to say just black people, but it see like for
well,
in this
right
case,
now
black
in
people,
this part right now in our world today in the United States, there's a hidden tension with black people and cops, and if you don't think I'm fucking, you'd have to.
Yeah.
You'd have to. Okay. You get a call tomorrow. There's some fucking Cuban dude smacking Jews people. He goes into synagogues and just smacks you and runs out. He goes into temples and I walk up on you. Is your defense going to be up or you're going to be glad to see me? You don't know if I'm going to smack you.
Right.
Same fucking thing. Every black person in America right now, whether they're a criminal or just a regular black person, after you see the shooting in Cincinnati,
yeah,
you have to be a little scared subconsciously. You could say, suck my dick, they're going to suck my white dick or my black dick. But subconsciously, that goes into your subconscious mind. So you have to be a little bit fucking scared.
I was always scared of cops.
Always. Me too.
Yeah, me too. I've never been comfortable.
Me too.
My friend's, his mom, they're black. And she tells him, like, get your fucking registration on your car up to date. Never give them, make sure your taillights aren't out. Never.
Give them a reason.
Never give them a reason. Never give them a reason.
You can't give them a fucking reason. Don't give them a reason. You know, I see people, and they tell you with stories, and they come back at you, and you should fucking know better. Remember the night we almost got pulled over? By the diner,
which one?
North Hollywood Diner, when we pulled into the cop thing. The cops were looking at that kid, and he got away, he started running, and there we are. So they saw two people in the car, so they thought I had picked the hitchhiker up. They got right behind
us. What?
They thought I had picked the kid up, because it was him and I getting a milkshake. They pulled up right behind us. I shit a fucking prick, man. They got out of the car. They're going to wave their guns. They're looking for a fucking kid. We saw the kid.
Yeah.
We saw the kid fucking running. It's not like we didn't see. If I'm telling you right now, I'm driving at night sober, no weed in my car. I'm still paranoid. I still have a little paranoia in me. Even if I'm not a criminal, I have no warrants, no wants, nothing. I get pulled over, I shit my pants. That's why I do not drink. I have zero tolerance drinking rule. Zero. When I'm in the Comedy Store, listen, you know what, man? I love you to death. I'm already high. I don't want to smoke. I don't want it on my persona. I don't want it nowhere. I got an edible in me. They'll never know. I got Visine in my eyes. They'll never fucking know. Leave them the fuck alone. I do the speed limit double. Right, Lee? I don't fuck around.
Pretty much. My dad was freaked out in the car.
What did he say?
Well, because you took that turn, that left right after the Comedy Store, and he was high, so he saw the cars coming. He's like, does Joey always drive that crazy? So taking it easy on you.
Your dad had a good time?
My dad had a great time, yeah. We had a lot of fun. It's just, it's cool being older and spending, like, actual time with him. It's fun.
Listen, man, the coolest thing in the world is to be old and still be relevant in somebody's life. I can't imagine being 74 and kids coming up to me and putting a joint in my mouth and saying, Grandpa, what up? I'm not even their grandpa.
Yeah.
They just see me and go, hey, man, my big brother used to listen to you. You want to get high? And I'd be like, fucking, even if I didn't get high and I had a fucking oxygen machine, if I'm 78,
put it in the tank.
If I'm 78 and two young kids come up to me and said, my brother said he saw you at the Improv one night. You want to get high? You ever get high with somebody old?
Yeah.
They have a great time.
A great time.
They have, especially if you get them high for the first fucking time. Ari's dad is coming to the show on Thursday night. Ari Shafir at the DC.
That's
going to
be so fun.
And I threatened Ari. I'm going to give him a start. Don't do it. Don't do
His
it.
His dad's never smoked or never been high.
I don't know. Yeah. I gave him the CBDs for his arthritis. Mr. Shafir's a trip. You know, and I played the message for Steve Simone, and we both were like, that's where Ari gets his loyalty. You can hear it in this guy's voice. He's got like that Yiddish accent.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing. What a great message he left me about. He'd love to reciprocate the favor. If you're ever in the D.C. area, please don't hesitate to call. At least
guess
let me
what?
Feed you. So Ari said, they want to come see you Thursday night. So put him on the list.
That's awesome.
Should I give him a little edible? What do you think? To make him dance?
Yeah.
Flip him one.
What kind of Jew would I be? if I wouldn't give him a fucking letter. How could the fucking Jew God look at me and go, Joey, you're slipping. That is a top Jew I sent to you, and you leave him fucking open-handed.
Top Jew.
Fuck yeah. You got to give fucking respect to the top fucking Jews. You know what I'm saying?
Put in their food. Have like a waitress slip it in whatever they're eating.
Nah, that's Mr. Shafi. You got to let him know what he's in. You know, I don't want him to go home and see a devil and say, fucking Joey tased me.
Tased me.
You get back to Baltimore all the time?
I don't get back as much as I want to these days. I used to go at least once a year. It's been two since I've been back. We just had a baby, so.
Who's left in Baltimore?
So I have a twin brother, fraternal twin brother, left, but he actually just moved to Delaware. And my younger brother lives in Baltimore. I've got my cousins who I was raised by basically grandmoms and everything. We have a product of divorce, so extended family. So I'm tight with third cousins, great aunts helped raise me, stuff like that. So all of them are all still there.
Not to insult anybody. Don't take it as an insult. How bad is your life when you move to Delaware? Oh, my God. I've been to Delaware. Holy Dude. Shit.
I tell him every
my
time.
My brother lives there, and I don't know how.
He does?
But that's where he had to move to change. Like, his wife said to him, I have a sister down there, and there ain't dick to do. If you're into boredom, like, they have two beaches, though. The summers are good.
Yeah, there's stuff down there. The summers are good.
But the winters, he said, even my brother said, dog, it's brutal. There ain't dick. I go, where's the bar? He goes, there's a bar. I go. He gets coke from time to time down there. They got coke at least.
Everybody's got coke.
Well, the college, there's my brother went to U Delaware, so there must be at least some college town. I don't know wherever that is.
But you might as well be on an island. You know what I mean? Like, you're so far away from everyone else, 2-3 hours away from everybody, where, you know, that you know. So unless they're coming to the beach and you're on the way, that's you get to stop by. You know what I mean? That's so far to pack up a family and go visit somebody, 3 hours back and forth. And then, you know, but
you got the ferry coming down from Jersey, because I know my brother takes the ferry.
Philly's close. You know, a lot of Eagle fans down that area and stuff, too. But it's cheap. It's where a lot of people can afford these days, too. You know what I mean? Property tax is so low, and there's no sales tax. It's weird when you go get something that says it's 367, and then they go 367. And you're like, oh yeah, there's no fucking sales tax here. So it's got its advantages, but yeah, you gotta like to do a lot of nothing.
I never thought about that. Is there sales tax on houses? I have no idea.
That's a good question.
In California, it's 10%. That's a fucking lot of money.
That is a lot of fucking. Oh, California, they rape you from A to fucking Z. When you're looking to buy a home, especially now with the price of the home,
you're is crazy. It crazy?
Oh, it's
fucking crazy!
It's crazy.
It's just you see these homes and you go, 2 bedrooms.
Yeah.
Even if I could afford that, I don't. I need another bedroom.
Yeah.
I need an office
and another bathroom. Boom.
You need a fucking 2.5.
You
bathroom.
Gotta have a 2.5.
And when you have family, I like that. Listen, give me the small cubicle in the back that's just a shitter and a sink. Yeah. I'm good. That's all I need. I'll turn that into the Taj fucking Mahal back there.
I just
there.
Need it wide enough to give a good leg spread. And I'll tell you, a friend of mine, so we grew up together. His name's Eric. I won't say his last name, but he ended up developing this crazy stomach problem in college. So they were giving him all this shit to drink to try to figure it out. They're lighting him up. They can't figure it out. And he's got, at this time now, he had a kid young, so he's got a little girl. And he's just shitting himself with no warning. You know, he's going to the hospital. Like, what the fuck's going on with me? Like, I don't even know what's coming. And bam, bam. So... So now I forgot the fuck I was saying.
Your friend who shit himself.
He shit himself. Yeah, he couldn't stop.
So he went to the
himself.
Hospital.
So he went to the hospital, and I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. The star just crept up on me.
Fuck yeah! My question to you was, when this thing was going down with the police in Baltimore a few months ago. Were you communicating with your family at home? What were they saying to you? Were the streets deadly? It was a different part of town.
Yeah, it's definitely a different part of town. It's the town part of town that no white people go in, you know, that they're not there. So a buddy of mine has a junkyard there in Baltimore, and he was talking to he's close to it. So he was talking to the people in the neighborhood and, the normal people, the people that live there and work there, and they're like, they just burned down our CVS. So now we have to go get our prescriptions somewhere else. Like, they don't realize how much they put the community out. Like, we got to go to this other one. It's going to be overflowing. We're not going to get our shit. They burned that one man's business down, you know, the business in their community. So, you know, there's a, and then you hear all the other sides of the story with, you know, the Ravens are out there and the Orioles are out there, and you're hearing it from the organization. So it's been an ongoing thing that I think exists in a lot of cities. And I think, like you said, they're waiting for that spark. And, it, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it again in Detroit or Chicago or somewhere else, especially at this rate.
And it's only going to get worse because there's more there's more movie theater shootings. So the only way to stop that is by putting more police out there. If you think about it, there has to be they're going to start putting cops in movie theaters. When I worked in a movie theater, there were cops there on weekends.
There were?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
In the theaters or at, in the lobby area?
In the lobby area. So they would need more. But, I mean,
with guns?
But at least you can neutralize the shooter.
Sure.
And you're there and you have a response team there.
Yeah.
You know, they're big enough chains. Those chains charge $6 for that fucking popcorn, you know? You go get popcorn, it's a 20, and then the fucking entrance is a fucking 20 for you and your date.
You should be protected.
Yeah, you should be fucking protected. I'm not, you know. And listen,
how much more vulnerable can you be with in a dark room with your back to everything
and your guard
down,
completely down? And if you're watching Mission Impossible, there's people shooting.
Yeah.
So the first 10 bullets, you don't even fucking know.
And that's what everyone else thinks in the theaters. That's what they've said in the article.
Guys, this is not good. This is not good. Yeah. This is right now. Studio had to sit and they're going, listen, we're about to lose. Educated people are gonna not. They're gonna wait till the movie comes out.
Especially with the TVs people have now.
That's it. That's it. I'm not going. I'm not risking home. It. You know, only. You know, the other day I was watching. They sentenced a kid to life in jail, and people were angry. And the lady who, you know, listen, I love mercy. And one thing I've told Terry since day one with anybody's children is, I would never put mercy in a bad position. I.e., there's no reason for mercy to go to the comedy store. You know, people think it's cute. I'm bringing my kid. Listen. There's no fucking reason. There's no reason for Mercy to be in the screening of Batman at midnight. At any age. They took a baby into the movie theater. I mean, God bless the baby soul and the mother, but listen, you fucked up. You know, your child is a fucking month old and you're going to see Batman. Batman's that important in your fucking life.
Yeah.
Then you know what? One part of me, you should have been shot in the fucking head.
Yeah.
If Batman is that fucking important to you at midnight, you know? And this is what I don't understand. This is the other thing. Like, we've become a fucking weak country by even supporting, you know, Batman, the Fantastic Four, all these fucking movies. How old are you? If you're over 12, I can't see you going to one of those fucking movies. Seriously. I'm not being cute here. If you're over 13, I cannot see an adult going to one of those fucking movies.
That's all that go to it, to those movies.
That fucking tells you the society we live in.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I would not go to a fucking superhero movie.
Some of them are good.
If you fucking paid me.
Do you watch them at home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watch them at home on my couch.
Some of them are good. Some of the first ones are good.
With my fucking
cape. First Iron Man was good. All those three Batmans were good.
The one Iron Man I went to see was 22 minutes too long. They wouldn't die. They wouldn't kill him with the fucking guy. I can't deal with that. There's a chance to go home. Let's go. End this fucking thing. They don't have an ending for these fucking movies.
Well, because they have
a beginning. There's always a fucking sequel.
It's a beginning, and then there's no fucking ending.
Yeah.
It's this garbage ending. Here's what kills me about a movie that you people are listening to me, and you're like, Joey's a fucking asshole. He talks about movies. Let me give you my perspective. I came to a country, and anybody who walks into the United States of America before immigration, and you ask them those stupid fucking questions, pull them aside. And ask them, what really made you come into this country? And they're going to tell you three things. And out of those three things, they're going to tell you American film and how it influenced me. Scarface, the beginning. What does he say in the pitch meeting when they got him sitting down in immigration? I see the guys like Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney. Any fucking immigrant that comes in here, when they see a big screen in a movie theater, your heart stops. When you see an American film on a movie theater, your heart stops. Your heart stops. Every fucking immigrant that comes in here has their favorite movie or pictures America how that movie is described. They will tell you, Lucky Lady, or every Russian watched the one with fucking Robin Williams, Suicide Boy. What movie he make? Moscow on the Hudson.
Moscow on the Hudson.
You know, every Russian saw that fucking movie.
Suicide Boy?
Yeah.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV.
There, come.
You know, they see those movies and it means something to them. So when I came to this country, I saw fucking The Love Bug, which Come on, guy. When you can't speak English and there's no subtitles, because I never like subtitles. Till today, I won't go see a movie.
Is that how you learn English?
I learned English by watching American television. I learned English by going, and once, and it's the weirdest fucking thing, because I will, when people have this argument about their children not watching TV, I shut my fucking mouth. But if they ask me, I go, I lived on TV for the first years of my life. I know the Dick Van Dyke Show word for word. I know three or four mother-in-laws word for word, because that's how I learned English. I would compare what they said and then read signs and put two and two together at the age of 4 and 5. But I still remember going to see The Love Bug, the America's Strongest Man with Jan Michael Vincent, when he picks up the weights and his arms fall down. Yeah. Come on, guys. There was a couple of them that you go see as a child. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, I remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Dr. Doolittle with the fucking animals. Also, yeah. I wanted to collect two of everything. Yeah. Whatever the fuck it
Wizard
was.
Wizard of Oz came Wizard on every Oz. Year
and
on
then,
TV.
And then, and then you got like a crazy uncle on a Saturday. Your mom is busy, and she ain't even fucking thinking. She ain't even thinking right. She's like, hey, do you mind going with your uncle on Saturday? He's like, yeah. You know, in fact, I'm going to take mine. And you're like, what? And all of a sudden, he picks you up, and he's like, listen, what movie are we going to see? You're like, you know, Bananas, you know, whatever. And he's like, no, we're going to see a Charles Bronson movie.
Yeah.
And at first, you're furious. Fucking Charles Bronson. Who the fuck? Whatever the fuck it was. For me, I think it was, yeah. Or it was Clint Eastwood. It was one of those Dirty Harry ones that they took me to. I was in shock. No. It was earlier than that. It was either Stone Killer. What year did Stone Killer come out with Charles Bronson? Or the Valachi Papers? First time you were a little kid, a Cuban kid?
73.
It was before that. Which one's that one? Valachi Papers?
Stone Killers.
Valachi Papers.
F or V?
V.
Okay.
It was one of those gangster movies. I remember still going to see Death Wish and going home.
72.
And going home and like looking in the dictionary to see what vigilante meant.
Yeah.
Like vigilante was the biggest word I knew at that age, and I couldn't wait to go to school and drop it on these motherfuckers. And I fucking, you know, I got that movie. In fact, go to YouTube, Death Wish rape scene. That was the first rape scene I ever saw in my life that I should have never seen.
Okay, same situation, same thing. I was at a birthday party. The adults were watching something in the room. We had trickled in, get some more Kool-Aid, whatever, maybe like 9. Do you remember the original Bad Boys? It was Sean Penn.
Oh, yeah.
And
the kid from Death
Wish. Is it Isai Morales?
Isai Morales.
Is that right? La Bamba. He was Richie Valens' brother.
Well, he hits
that.
Him with the pillowcase.
Yeah, with full of soda cans.
Soda cans.
But that guy, I think it was a revenge thing. He raped his girlfriend because Sean
outside.
Penn killed
they
his brother.
Her, right,
or something.
They raped her on the outside.
Is it this one, Joe? The one I have my mouse on? Rape 2. Oh.
Which one?
It says there's two of them. Oh, no, wait.
Death Wish.
But, so, that's the same way I saw
Death Wish Part 1. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, my brother. Yeah, that's it. Part 211. That's it. 211. They follow a home. Look who it is. Look who the rapist is. Turn around, guys. Look who the rapist is. You guys didn't see that?
Uh-oh.
Look who it is.
That dude?
No. Look.
Oh, that's
Goldblum.
Goldblum, yeah.
Eric fucking Goldblum. This is what year? 73?
Let me look it up.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that is him.
This is a weird fucking...
74.
This is a weird fucking... this is a weird trilogy, because then they moved to L.A. and they got raped again. Who moves to a different city and gets raped again? You got to be the kiss of death at that point. At that point, you got to put like one of those things on your pussy, like in the medieval times, with a lock.
Lock it down. But yeah, so I was at the party and I remember seeing him lay on her. He raped her underneath a train. The train goes by as she screams. They can't hear her scream. And I knew what he was doing, and I knew it wasn't right. But I remember asking, what's happening? And I'll never forget, one of the adults quickly said, he's biting her. And I said, y'all don't want to tell us what the fuck's going on. But yeah, that's exactly what, that's where I saw it in
it's
that
shocking.
Movie.
It's shocking.
It was shocking. That's it's never you, left me. It's
look,
never
fast
left
forward
me.
This.
I have the same story, but wait, how far?
Keep going. Just keep going. Let's see what, you'll see. They go in. Here you go. Watch this. This is a horrible. When you're fucking 10, this
oh,
is
yeah.
horrible.
Horrible.
This was horrible. I remember they ripped his shirt or something, and I almost shit in my pants.
If he gets hurt, Mother, just hold still. Don't move.
What do you want?
Don't jive, Mother. You know what we want.
It's not going to hurt us.
Not if you got money.
Nobody, nobody.
Hey, Mother. Look at the artiste doing his art. Ain't that beautiful, Mother?
My purse is in the kitchen.
Just stand still.
We'll do as they say, Carol. Where is your purse?
A fucking SWAT stick. It's 1974. I don't fucking believe it. Where's the class, huh? Where's the fucking class?
Shit, you only got $4.
I got three and two bits.
You gonna get the shit kicked out of you, Mother.
It's all we have.
Rich people like you? Shit, we want money, Mother. Now get it!
It's true, that's all we have!
Look at the singer from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it looks like Billy Corgan. It does.
Look at Billy Corgan before the songwriting.
Jesus.
Yeah, this is 1970.
This is disturbing to see as a kid.
This is disturbing.
You seen this at 10?
10.
It's heavy now.
They say Trump was bad to women. Jesus Christ. Trump never did that to Rosie O'Donnell.
No, man, let me paint her ass.
That's disturbing for a young man.
Oh, yeah.
That fucked my world
oh,
up.
Oh, man.
I don't even know if I should put this on the stream.
Man, this is a much harder one than the one I watched. The only one I had to watch was him lay on
yeah,
her from
lay
my point
no,
of view.
This is
yeah.
horrible.
This is horrible.
All right, turn it off, Lee. That's it. What the fuck? You're going to prolong the drama? I'm over here fucking crying over here. You might as well put on the fucking champ with fucking what's his name. No, that was, oh shit, look at Lee.
Lighten the mood a little bit.
Look at, yeah, just to pick it up. What the fuck? We got some time.
I want you to know I rallied around the star and I remembered the story I forgot to tell.
See?
So we were talking about that's tight.
No, this is the
yeah.
fucking
I love Tony Bennett. We were talking about having the 2.5 bath. Okay. Friend of mine developed that crazy stomach problem, couldn't stop shitting. Goes to his wife's company Christmas party at someone's townhouse in Maryland, okay? And when you walk in, like townhouse, you walk in and it's got stairs that go up, but they sort of go back deep, not terribly wide, but a little bit. And there's always a half bath right when you walk in the front door, right there on your right. Just a toilet and a sink, okay? He's got these shit problems. He's going upstairs to the main bathroom. He's going to the second one. They're all being used. It's a, you know, a small townhouse with like 100 people in it. And he's telling his wife, he's like, I'm having to shit in that half bath. And the living room is packed full of people eating and everything. She's like, don't do it. He's like, I'm going to have to shit. I'm going to have to go in there and do it. And he just says, sorry. And he went and did it. And I mean, he said he was in there for 25 minutes and came out. And he said the food, everything. He ruined everything. The party fucking, they all left. They all fucking left, and she had to go back and work with him. He didn't have to see him. She had to see him. They were like, man, your husband shit this
fuck
house up and
bathroom.
Ruined the fucking
That's a horrible, horrible situation. That's horrible. You go
but
to
you need that half bath, though.
Listen, man, I used to do a lot of coke. So I go to people's houses. I do two bumps of coke, and the first thing you got to do is take a shit. And I tell them, you got another bathroom? They go, no, use that one. I go, oh, Jesus. And listen, the worst shit you'll take are the ones in somebody's house. The sticky ones, you
yeah.
get two rolls of toilet paper. They don't have no more rolling paper. You got to fucking yell out for them for fucking toilet paper. Mm-hmm. The worst shits I have to take are when I'm out. You know, at that coffee shop we go to, Marie E.T.
Oh, really?
And you got to run to the bathroom, and there's somebody in there shitting already. Man. I get furious.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I just drink coffee and got to pee, and I run to the bathroom, and somebody took a shit in that bathroom. My blood pressure goes 200 over. I get furious, people who shit on the outside, because I try my hardest not to shit in the street.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I really fucking do. I hate, and I always have to shit when I'm leaving the house, it seems like, when I'm just about to leave the house. That's why I'm calm. I get up at 6. I give myself a few hours.
Fake it out a little bit.
No, there's people who leave the house and expect to go to somebody else's place of residence or business and fuck up their bathrooms. Your friend, I understand. He was very sick. I don't want people coming over to my house and taking a shit.
No, hell no. Not like that.
And you
especially
know when people come over and they look like Ari will come to your house and go, can I use your bathroom? That means fucking you're done.
I haven't had a house with a guy for a while. My dad was just here for a weekend. It was, there's a family story that we went to hit my aunt's house, his sister's, and he pooped, and then my cousin went in and puked. And she was like 10. And
from
she
the came smell?
She
just
came
vomited?
In, she came in crying, Uncle Dickie, you made me puke from your poop.
How many fucking places did I go to when I was doing blow and I destroyed the bathroom to the point where the toilet got stuck? Because when you do cocaine, it loosens everything up. You start dropping
everything.
Pa, pa, pa. Legs, chicken wings, bones. Oh my God, it's fucking horrible. I miss cocaine.
There's a matchbox.
That's the one
here
thing about cocaine. You do it and it cleans you out, and then you're running on an empty stomach the rest of the night. Your stomach is growling, but you don't want to eat because you're fucking doing bad. It's tremendous.
I'll never forget, my grandmother used to tell me this story all the time. My grandmother was hip, and she and one of our cousins, he was older, but they shared a birthday, December 8th, I believe. And they would always get together for coffee and hang out on their birthday. And they went to this place, it was called White Coffee Pot Jr. back in Baltimore. And they were sitting down having coffee, and my grandma said, oh my God, I need to use the bathroom. So she goes into the ladies' room. She's telling us this. And she sits, she squats over the toilet, and she's got terrible diarrhea. And she said, I cleaned myself, and when I was done, I turned around to put the toilet paper in, and nothing was in the toilet. And she said, I looked up on the wall, and it was everywhere. It sprayed all up on the wall, and she's like, oh, my God. So she runs out and washes her hands, and as she's getting ready to come out, here comes a female attendant to clean it. My grandmother just looked at her and goes, I don't look what some sick son of a bitch in there did. That's disgusting. Hauled ass out of there, grabbed my cousin and said, we're getting the fuck out of here.
It was perfect, yeah. It was the timing of death.
She just thought quick, like, that's fucking disgusting. I can't even be in here.
I almost shit myself the other day. I was at the urinal when my dad and Paula met, and I was taking a piss, and I thought I had to fart, and it almost came out. I was able to stop it at the last minute. But
it's a horrible situation when you shit yourself. I do it once a year. Just do it. You don't know.
Only once a year?
But yeah, you eat like bad food. You don't know. You go there for the first time, and people in LA, oh, it's great food. And you go in there, and they give you that fucking canned shrimp. That canned shrimp goes through me. I don't fuck
like
with
water,
it.
Yeah.
Last week, a bunch of my friends said that golden chopsticks is good on Laurel Canyon.
I've always driven by it. Is it
so
good?
The other night, I go, you know what, honey? You want Chinese? I want Chinese. Let's go to the golden chopsticks. Mercy didn't want to go nowhere, so I go, I'll go get it. We ordered it on the phone. The shrimp was horrible. The wings were delicious until you bit into them, and then you could see they were glued together. Like the 7-Eleven wings, they're purple. They got like the low grade of wings. Yeah, like the chickens got cancer or something. They got weak wings. Their wings break. The wings were delicious. Listen, the best wings in L.A., 10, 15, my wife was saying, best wings you could ever have in L.A. are at Rice on La Cienega next to Vito's Pizza down there.
Oh, I know where Vito's is.
There used to be
is
a place named Rice next door. Now it's something else. They serve sushi. But 15 years ago, when I was 418, how do you think I got to be 418? I would go to Rice and get 3 order of wings. 6 to an order garlic wings.
Oh,
just no sauce, no blue cheese, no celery, just fucking wing meat with garlic juice on it. Chinese style, fresh, delicious. $6.95 a piece.
Really?
$8.95. I didn't give a fuck. Me and my wife would go down and get the lunch special and 3 order of fucking wings. The tables, and my wife said to me, she goes, we never had those wings again. Just delicious. And this place, the wings were, like I said, I didn't get sick the next day. I'm not going to lie to you. The pork fried rice was, I didn't eat a lot of it. The shrimp and garlic sauce was just horrific. And it was the shrimp. If they would have used the size big, it would have been. Yeah. Once you give me those little shrimp, you're insulting me.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to use those for shrimp fried rice, I'm not mad at you. But for shrimp and garlic sauce, you got to go a little bigger. And we got something else. I ate some white rice, and that was it.
I love shrimp, but I don't get it very many places. Like, it's... If I don't, I'll have to go to like a Thai place for a while before I try like their shrimp pad Thai.
I'm a seafood snob, man. People, shrimp cook in like 2 minutes. People overcook them. They're always rubbery and shit. And then you start freezing them. They don't know how to freeze them. They fuck all that shit up.
I told my wife to stop buying the shrimp from Costco. Yeah. Same thing. The big bag we went. And then you would go out and eat shrimp. And you're like, Jesus, that tastes like real fucking shrimp. They give me that old, and I told Lee, that's that old fucking, some Jew. Listen. When they dropped that Exxon oil, some fucking Jew was like, go down there and buy everything up. Sharks, everything that's floating with oil. We'll wash this shit off and we'll freeze it.
We'll freeze this shit.
And that's what they did. Some fucking sick fucking white dude went down there with
a right, net. Though, you're
think
right.
I'm kidding you?
With a net.
They don't show you that shit. They got to save them fish.
If they weren't sold here, they were sold somewhere else.
They were sold somewhere else. They scoop those little Exxon oil fish before the oil goes into the skin.
The BP one, I think you're saying.
You BP, Exxon, they all cousins.
They all, yeah. They
all of them.
You wash those motherfuckers off and you freeze them. You put some salt and pepper on them to freeze them like that. And you sell them to fucking... Whoever, they don't know what the fuck you're... And that's why I think that Costco shrimp is. It's definitely, like, related to that shrimp. Like, they're second cousins to that oil fucking shrimp. All right, so you're going to school at Northridge.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when the fuck do you go, I'm going to get into stand-up comedy?
Well, all right, so at 20 years old, a friend of mine was dating a girl whose dad was managing a club in Baltimore called Winchester's on Water Street at the time. I'm 20. And he was like, I think you should just try. Go try it. So I tried it. And I did well, and I liked it. And, you know, the funny thing is, this is 94? No, 93. And they paid me $50 to open. Fast forward to 2015, you get into the improv, $50 to open. I still think that's amazing. So I do it for a few months. And then a bunch of life shit happens, and I don't start again until I move out here. I moved out here. So let me backtrack a little bit. I've always wanted to come to California. I've always loved comedy, wanted to get in. I didn't know if it would be stand-up or what it would be, but I wanted to be here. So I used college as a way to get here. I majored in mass communication, got my AA at community college, and the day I'm coming to Cal State Northridge, I got... You know, in, I'm going to have a room with three other guys. I'm like, oh, good, I'll meet people, you know, get out to California where I want to be. Northridge isn't that far from Hollywood. I can do shows. And I'm sleeping at my friend's place, and his mom wakes me up, and she's like, turn the TV on. And I turn it on, and she's like, you don't have a college. And I'm like, what? I thought it was a dream. Like, what's going on? And it turns out the Northridge quake hit. Northridge is the epicenter, destroyed the college. It was on MLK Day, so fortunately not a lot of people died because, you know, offices are closed, all that stuff. But
that was January of 94.
That's right. That's exactly right. January of 94. I'm coming here, and I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to start stand-up when I'm here. But then the earthquake happens, and I come anyway. And I met a dude through a friend and just lived with him in January. Actually, it ended up being Dice's old place. He used to get his mail all the time. Andrew Silverstein's mail used to come to us all the time there. And then I finally got out to Northridge because we didn't start the semester until February because the school was destroyed. I mean, you would drive these streets. Were you out here then?
No.
No?
No.
You would drive the streets. And, I mean, try to picture in your mind a business front just tilted on its face. I mean, just destroyed. Fires coming up through the streets from the gas pipes and families at the corner of Reseda and, like, Burbank. There's a big park. And people who didn't have homes were in tents, and the National Guard boarded it for them and protected them in there. Like, it was fucked up. I mean, it was a big earthquake. So finally we start in February, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going to go to class. And I'm on a sidewalk. I'm under a tree. I'm in a trailer. And the whole time now I'm sharing a bathroom with some other guy on the other side of this little studio, which is now I'm not meeting anyone. You know what I mean? I'm just walking to class and the place is devastated. So I go back home in the summer. I come back and they're like, hey, you're not an in-state student. We can't admit you because we've got to let all the in-states back. We're bringing, you know, they're trying to get money and I'm out of state, but they wanted to give me money to live there. And I just didn't, I wasn't going to owe some institution money to just chill in California. So I drove back to Maryland, graduated from Towson, and then came back. And that's when I really started to...
What year was that?
That was 97. And I got into improv first, and I did the Groundlings, and I went through... I went into the writing lab, and at that point, it was started to become... You can, you know, start auditioning for the Sunday Company and that, but I wasn't... I didn't want to do that. I was already doing stand-up while I was doing it, and I just wanted to write and learn how to do that and build characters and tell stories, and then just took that back to doing stand-up. The reason I got back into stand-up was because I went to do the Groundlings, and they have like a, between like level one and two, there's can be up to a year waiting list. And I just didn't want to stop the momentum I had started with comedy. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to stand-up. And that's when I, first show, I met Sam Tripoli. And I mean, we've been buddies ever fucking since. I saw him do that goddamn stripper in a wheelchair, and I was like, I fucking love this guy. I love him. And then it's just been, you know, built from starting then. You know, I would just do... My first start, I would do once a month. It wasn't until I was probably 2 years of just gigging and doing mics that I started to... I got into the improv through the Comedy Store and started just opening. And I opened for, you know, a lot of comics because it was easier to get opening work than it was feature because a lot of those guys brought their dude back in the day. So that's how I got into it and then just stayed doing stand-up. I love stand-up, but podcasting... I mean, it's my new, you know, you guys have been at it a while, and I haven't, but it's my new favorite format. I mean, I love the freedom and the, you know, openness and being able to be you for a while and, you know, not
have
this to say.
Well, you have a pretty popular podcast. Well, you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, we've been doing it a while, but, you know, there's, you know, guys, Rogan and Carolla and Maron, these guys are just blazing, trailblazers,
listen, man,
we're still
here.
Hardwick.
Yeah. We're still here. A lot of people have started... And gotten out of it. I gotta tell you, I've always had a really emotional side towards Baltimore. And you know what? I got a memory for all dumb shit. And I could sit here and I don't know the name of the club. I went to Michigan when I started comedy. I went to Dearborn, to a place called Joey's in Dearborn. I think it was Joey's. It was that chain. And they were very nice to me. And the guy that was, his name was Ed Belasca. And after my first weekend there, he booked me for a month, in the month of August. I went there Memorial Day weekend. And he goes, do you want to MC? He goes, in the summer, it's slow. So I do a two-man show. I'll put you in the hotel. And your house MC. I said, okay. He goes, do you have any other work? I go, not really. Whatever they give me in Denver. He goes, I got a buddy in Baltimore. I'll give him a call. And he came back in. And he goes, this guy said if you drive there this week, he needs an MC. They paid me $300, Lee. And I drove to Baltimore, and they put me in a condo across the street, and they had just rebuilt the waterfront.
Yeah, the harbor.
The harbor, and that's where the club was, okay? Till this day, the guy was very nice to me. They fed me. I ate shit. I'm not going to lie to you guys and tell you. He did call me back. I'm lying to you guys.
Was it Slapsticks back
Jesus
then?
Jesus fucking, I don't know. I know the guy was as sweet as pie.
That's
he
good.
Didn't bring in national headliners. He brought in local guys. Once a month, he had Pauly Shore, and he mm-hmm. at that time, he had Anthony, the nice kid from the show, was
coming
in. Yeah,
the Boston show.
The Boston kid,
He did Last Comic. And Clark.
Anthony Clark. Yeah. He didn't have it, but besides that, it was guys from Detroit, and guys from Albany. And the time I did it was a guy from Detroit who got me in with Yoda. So you see how it works? He got me in with Yoda. I forget what his sister ended up marrying. The singer with the dreads, and he beat her and cheated on her. But he got me into the Yoder and to the Milwaukee room. This is how comedy works, people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think, blah, 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 blah. So by me going to Baltimore for $300, I featured for this dude, and the feature act was a black dude that was cool as fuck. And he goes, I usually headline, but I took this because I come down here to eat the crab cakes and my sister lives here. So we started talking. He goes, where do you want to work? And I said, I want to. He goes, call me in a week. I called him in a week. He called Yoda. There was no package. There was no tape. There was nothing. Yoda gave me like two hell gigs, and I didn't call Yoda for years. But in the meantime, he got me into co-headlining at the Comedy Cafe with the Gangsters. You ever work for them?
Mm-hmm.
JD when he used to own the motorcycle gang. He used to run the motorcycle gang. So the whole staff wears gangster suits.
Oh, really?
And he weighed 500 pounds. He was a big Indian-looking Samoan motherfucker, JD, and he would pay you with a gun on his desk. It was crazy. Thursday night, he would take you to dinner to this fucking place. They would
like
close.
The Booyah tribe.
Oh, my God. This guy had always hot chicks. Always hot strippers. Every time you went there. Thursday night, he'd take you to this fucking dynamite home cooking place. Home cooking in Milwaukee. Friday, he fed you at the club. And then Saturday, if there was 2 feet of snow on the ground, there was a guy outside grilling, dog. He paid a guy like $3 to build like an igloo and grill shit. And I'm talking about real deal barbecue with beef and shit.
Yeah.
He took care of you. He was cheap to pay you. That's why I didn't go back. I did it twice. The condo, oh, my God. If there was ever a worst condo award, that one would be in the top fucking voting. The couch was worst. It was like beige from all the sperm throughout the years. It was and you could
what
smell
color it. Was it originally?
Oh, my God. Like a green, like a fucking lime green. Every room was different.
God.
Every room had tape on the windows and a fucking gate, you know, like a fire gate so nobody could break in. The back window had a waterbed from the 60s with a mirror on the ceiling. The fucking bathroom was disgusting. I decided as a headliner to take Jody Fertig with me as the feature act. And I had to pick her up. She passed out in the car from being drunk. You know Jody?
Yeah.
Okay, she passed out in the car on the drive. She got a bottle of Zambuca somewhere, one of those fucking exotic drinks. I said, drink the thing. I'm just going to drive. We get there, 4 in the morning. There's a foot of snow. I pick her up. I put her on the chair. When that poor girl woke up, she's like, Jodias, where are we? This is the county condo. It was disgusting, people. Horrid.
Was that the worst one you've ever been at?
A hotel in Wyoming one time, which I could not believe to this day. I just remembered it. I just remembered it recently. What else? The La Jolla Comedy Club, the comedy store, La Jolla condo on the beach and everything. But I saw two rats and that motherfucker that would rival a New York City rat. And listen, people, listen to the church. You know I don't bullshit you motherfuckers. Once I see a rat, I shake your hand and it's all over and I'll never come back to your house again. And if I see a mouse, same fucking thing. If I see a lizard, I'll make a comeback. But a mouse, a fucking water bug, we got no reason to talk because if they're in your living room, they're in your cabinets walking on your fucking Wonder Bread. I know how those fucking water bugs.
There's silverfish, how do you feel about silverfish?
Those little mice, those little field mice. Yeah. I see a field mouse. That's the last time I'll talk to you again. But it's funny, you were talking about Northridge. When Northridge hit in 94, I was a full-time starving comic hustler. And if I got to tell you about the times I was having a great time, the only thing that was eating away at me at that time was my beef with my ex and her husband. At that time, we were going to kill each other. But besides that, guys, I didn't have it. I didn't have it that bad.
Yeah,
I
really didn't.
I had a Joey Diaz style. I had a job which paid me like $600 a month. That covered my Coke bill. And then everything else I lived by was whatever I stole or I put together.
Okay.
It was fucking ridiculous. But I had people on contract back then. Like I tell a story about that time when I had a guy came up to me, he goes, I want to join the mafia. He goes, how do I join the mafia? I'm Italian. I go, that's easy. I'll make a call. You send some money, they'll take care of you. This guy gave me like $2,000. And he come up to me every 6 months. Talk, I never got a letter. I never got nothing.
A letter.
How retarded was
that?
But I had this guy.
That didn't even be real.
Listen to me. It's fucking. And he still calls me once a year. He lives up in like. But his wife's a millionaire. His wife's a stockbroker who hit big or something. And he just drives her around and picks the kids up. I can't, you know. But then.
But you have to feel like he just thinks, like, yeah, I'm going to ask an Italian guy.
I had a guy.
We should just send him a certificate.
I had a guy,
we should.
I had a guy I put together for like a pound of weed, like for a month. I knew he wanted the weed. And I, every time I'd see him, I'd go, I don't have it for you. But pretty soon he goes, I got the money at the house. Guys, even when I needed money to eat and snort blow, I wouldn't hit this guy up. because I knew all I had to do was ask him and the 800 was going to be there for me. I put them together on weed that didn't exist. You understand me? Martians, green with red flowers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's dry. And he's like, come on, I can make money. 800. When am I going to get it? Because I had some weed other time. And I told him it was 800. Dog, I went to this kid. I went to this kid before I went to New York. I robbed this other guy for a Valium shipment. I told this other guy, give me, you know, 1,000 Valiums. I'll give you $300. And I'll be back in an hour. Pew! And on the way out of town.
These guys are handing it over before they get the money?
Oh, please. All the time? I was around. Listen, I'm the best. I could set anybody up because I would give you time.
Right.
Amateurs will call Lee and go, Lee, I'm in a bind. Give me $300. And Lee will cool. Well, no, Joey. But if I call Lee and go, Lee, in about a week, I'm going to call you. I'm getting this coke. Did I ever tell you about the chink? Well, who's the chink? The chink. He's a Colombian dude. They call him the chink. He gives you cocaine and a fucking leaf. And he gives you an orange peel for you to suck on at the end of the night so you come down off the cocaine. And people go, what are you talking about? Listen, it's like 3,000 an ounce. He's going to give it to us for 2,200. All right? Give me about a week. And people would hang up on me. And then I torment them little by little. This is the best coke you've ever seen. And if you're an addict like I was, I know how to get into your head. And I would just set you up.
Slow game.
And I would slow game you. And eventually, and then now you'd want to give me the money.
Yeah.
Now you'd say to me, when are you going to give me the fucking blow? I'm sick of hearing.
Now they're bugging the fuck out of
the
you.
The chink's coming to town next week. Have the 2,200 ready. Over. Boom. Lights out. But this poor kid in Boulder gave me 800 for a pound. Do you know, 5 years later, I'm at a girl's house in New York. And the phone rings. And she looks at me and she goes, it's rent for you. And she gives me the phone.
A house light. Phone?
And I'm like, hello? And the guy's like, hey, what happened to my $800?
Like, we're smoking it right now.
But anyway, I had this kid. He had a Chinese restaurant across the street from Mustard's Last Stand. In Boulder, there's a hot dog place from Chicago Hot Dogs.
That's a great name.
With pickles in that motherfucker.
Mustard's Last Stand. That's fucking great.
And across the street was a Chinese restaurant those days. I put together for comedy, right?
Okay.
So I put them together for comedy. I had my friends do me a huge favor. I had this kid, Todd Jordan, and this kid, Rick Kearns. I made the bar guy give me $100 tab, and I told him to give me $350 for the comedians. So I ended up, I gave Todd Jordan $150. I gave the feature $100. I kept $100. So whatever that comes out to be. So I made a little money, and then, but Ron sold $3,000 at the bar. He had never sold that much. And I met Ron selling neon. I used to sell neon door to door.
What?
So I come in, give you a flyer with an open sign, and then how much you want for the open? In those days, open signs were just becoming popular. $200, I don't stall it for you. $200, I give you
the little yes, we're open signs?
Yeah, and he goes, $200, I give you $150 in Chinese food, $50 credit. No, fuck that, Ron. I want $200 and $100 in credit, cocksucker.
Fucking Ron.
Okay, you install Ron. Right. Okay, his name was Ron. You install right now. Do you know how long I milked Ron for? I had Ron paying my rent. I had Ron give me. Ron was a bad motherfucker.
For one sign?
Listen, one sign he paid me $200 for, man. And it cost him $10,000. In those days when I put my hooks in you, it was all over. It cost him $10,000. And then I did the comedy show, and I put money in his pocket. And if you know anything about Chinese people, once they do 3,000 at the bar, they lose their mind. He would call me every day. And I knew I had Ron. I go, Ron, listen, I got it. So I had Ron for like a year on the. I had Ron on the. Listen to this. I had Ron.
Ron still hasn't recovered.
Ron's been going through his books. Like,
Ron would
there's
definitely
this
not.
Whole area right here. And it's all in fucking red.
I had Ron.
He would never be a Facebook friend.
I would call Ron. Hello, who's there? Ron, this is Joe Diaz. Ron, you're going to be there in 10 minutes? Yeah. What go on? What go on, Joe? Listen, I got a big deal going on. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you all about it. We're going to make a ton of money. No, you tell me. And I'd hang up on him. I'd hang up on him, which drove him crazy.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the restaurant, he'd be out there. Where you been? Where you been? Tell me about big deal. And I go, listen. And I just make up a name. Like, listen, you know John Wayne? Yeah, I know John Wayne. Listen, he wants to come. I'm going to have him come in here and do comedy. But he needs a deposit. Give me $350 right now from the bar. Yeah, $350? And I already got the guy waiting on the corner for an 8-ball.
Yeah.
And I got the chick I'm going to take to dinner with the other 100, and I got a hotel room for $50. And I'm not even you wearing a condom. I'm crazy as fuck at that time.
And no one's going to show up.
Dog, I would take him for $300-$400. Yeah. Only after like 6 months. One day he came to me and goes, when is, you know, I don't know who. I was telling Belushi was coming. Like, I was just dropping names. John Candy's coming. I'm going to get him. I did
his
one.
Chinese
I did one. I did one. And I milked that poor Chinese guy. And then I had him on. I was so broke doing comedy. I ate three meals a day in there. I would go in there, Ron. Where's my tab?
You've been in there like 11 when they open for breakfast?
11:01. I was in there in the kitchen.
Big shrimp, Ron.
In the kitchen making my own soup. Oh, that's how pimp I had it in there. And he'd tell me, don't make your own soup no more. You take all shrimp. Fuck that shit. I would take the shrimp and the fucking wontons. And that's, once I learned how to make Chinese soup, I didn't like it no more. See, I always thought they had the same fucking chicken broth for each thing. All they do is take the chicken broth, put it in, put three wontons in. They sprinkle it with pork and fucking onions, and they
green
bring
onion,
it to you.
Yeah.
If it's egg drop, it's egg drop. If it's the other one, they mix it together with the noodles and whatever. But it's all the same fucking Chinese mix.
Yeah.
I knew that shit down. I got to be so friendly with Ron that then I took over another Chinese restaurant. This was the best. I used to just take over Chinese.
You got a chain.
You're like the mob becoming like silent partners.
Listen to me.
You're bleeding them dry.
Oh, my God. I was taking over Chinese restaurants.
You got a roster.
Listen to me. Now, Ron was in North. Ron was by the college.
What was Bold. This guy's
this
name?
Was,
Eric?
This was... Ron was by the collar, and after 6 months, one day Ron questioned me. He questioned my loyalty and where his $2,000. I give you $3,000. You eat here every day, and then no John Wayne, no John Candy, no Clint Eastwood. I had this poor guy sweating. And then I started bringing him stolen shit.
Coming.
And then I would bring him stolen shit. Like if I would go to the mall and steal like three big pens, like the gold pens, I'd bring it. Where you get this? No, listen, it fell off the truck. You know, I knew the mafia. Then I had this other dude, an Italian guy, and I used to tell him I was La Mano Negra, that I was coming to collect on Friday. This guy believed me and went to Tony Lodizio and told Tony Lodizio if I shook him down again, he was going to call the cops on me. This is Boulder, Colorado. I was going crazy. And I was just out of prison. But I was just...
Is this what you thought of during prison? Like all these little...
No. So then, listen to me. So now... There's a Chinese restaurant in North Boulder that was men's immense. It wasn't that bad, but they were next to the biggest video store in Colorado, which I heard now they're huge. Boulder on 28th Street or 30th Street, don't fucking buy Arapahoe. They used to have a three-floored movie, a video chain. No porn. Whatever you want. I went
like
in there.
A three-story Blockbuster?
I used to go in there and fuck with them. Yeah, like a three-story Blockbuster way before Blockbuster.
Gotcha.
And I used to go in there and fuck with them. I used to go in there and ask them for Harry in Your Pocket, just obscure names. And they'd, and they'd hit me and go, we don't have it in stock, but we'll have it here in 2 days out of Denver. They had a warehouse in Denver that was huge. And that's where I used to go when I first started comedy. So I would go in there and I rented every day the Rodney thing and...
Dangerfield?
The Rodney Dangerfield special with all the guys on it.
Young comedians.
And I would also take the best of... What's the black one from HBO?
Def Comedy Jam.
With Joe Torre as the warm-up. And I rented it so much that they wouldn't even charge me anymore. That's how good they were to me as a comedian. I'll never forget that. But next to that place was a Chinese restaurant. And they were okay. They had some good rice. They had some good... And the kids were good-looking. They were nice boys. There was two or three boys and the mom. And I would go in there by myself. And then I started bringing people in there. And I would have people meet me there. That was the place where me and my buddies were sitting there one day. And I don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Me and Rizzo. The kid's name was Rizzo. He's from Long Island. He's a big fat kid. And we're in there fucking eating spare ribs. We're going to go to the Comedy Works. He's driving me to the Comedy Works. Because I didn't have a car. And on Tuesdays, we would leave work together. And we'd go eat Chinese food. And we'd go. And this couple got up. After we were talking, this couple got up. And on the way out, they said, let me explain something to you. We were listening to your conversations. You two are barbarians. He goes, if I wasn't with my wife, I'd take his boat outside and beat your ass. This guy was like an older guy. Anyway.
What were you talking about?
So I started going into this Chinese restaurant. You know, and once or twice a week, the lunch special wasn't bad. And I got to be honest with you, the food wasn't bad. And, you know, hey, Joey, hey, Tony, hey, whatever. I became friends with the guy. One day I went in there. I don't know, this is a true story. With no do-re-mi. And I told the guy the truth. I said, listen, man, I forgot my wallet. He goes, dog, you're always in here. You take it with you. I took up the food. And 2 days later, I brought him the $30. They were happy as shit. And after that, I became family. The mom talked to me. The brother talked to me. So I would talk to them more and more. I was lonely. I was going through a heartbreak with my ex-wife. And I would go in there 3 nights a week. You know me, dog. I'm simple. I could eat Chinese food every fucking day. They had noodles for the soup. They had the whole thing. One day, I had my daughter. I had the basement. I lived in the Rocky basement. I had no money. And I called them up like a man. I said, listen, man, I'm in a bind. I got my daughter. I got no dough. What do you want? And when they came to my house, the brother sat me down. He goes, listen, you've been coming to our restaurant for a long time. I see you bring people in there. He goes, from then on, you're on a tab. And you pay us when you have the fucking tab. That could only happen to me when I'm a starving comic living in a fucking basement, addicted to blow. I'm a fucking single dad. I got no dough, every penny. And I'm not feeling bad for me. I'm just telling you what I was going through. And look at this door that opens up for me. I could eat Chinese food every fucking day. And here's these people telling me, look, from now on, call us. We'll deliver it and we'll put on a tab.
Hell yeah.
And for a while, I would just give the kid a 20. He'd go, there's no tab. Because he was the owner, the delivery kid. They fucking worked. There were two kids. Well, finally, one day I go, dog, I'm in there, and they're talking shit. And guess what happens? They're like, our delivery boy quit. Uncle Joey got a license. And I got a mat and some glasses. And they're like, you want to deliver Chinese food? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll deliver Chinese food. What nights you got? And they're like, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Give them to me. Fuck it. Dog, I was walking out of there with a yardstick.
And Chinese food.
And Chinese food every night. And I became friends with them. And then guess what Uncle Joey started doing? What Tony Soprano didn't want. People selling cocaine on the fucking Chinese routes. So every time I had delivery, I would go out and sell fucking blow at the same time. People would call me up. You got a gram of coke? Yeah, but you got to order Chinese food. Boom, and then order Chinese. Come on, God. Who the fuck do you think you guys are dealing with? So I would tell the people.
I mean, what was the
code word?
No, not that. That's a good question.
They would call and ask for Joey.
I'm just saying,
I would pick up the phone.
But the increase of business you must have brought
25%.
Oh my God!
And people going in there to see me.
Oh come on!
And I was
that's what I'm talking about.
I was just
about.
Gonna do stand up, and here's where it gets better.
The delivery guy.
The delivery guy.
25%.
Listen to me, dog. And here's where it's getting better. And I'm walking out of there with a yardstick a night. I'm selling blow, and I'm weighing it. I'm doing everything there. And in those days, I was such a fiend, I would keep it there overnight. I would hide it there. And they would never use the back bathrooms. So there was nights I'd go in there and put a line of coke out. Two lines. I'd do one. I'd forget. And I'd walk out. I'd come back 2 days later. That line of coke was still at attention. It was still there with the American flag at attention, Jack. I couldn't believe it. These fucking Chinese dudes didn't snort fucking blow. It was tremendous, but here's what gets better. So I'm there working, I'm hustling, I'm eating my meals there. I'm living like a doctor in there. I'm bringing my daughter in there. I'm running fucking coke out of there. One day I walk in there, like, hey, Joey, we run pool. You want to play pool? And I go, I'll play the fucking pool. And they thought they were cute. They're like, we only have one team left, Houston Rockets. And I go, I'll take the fuck with the team. Fuck yeah, I'll take the Rockets. The Rockets were like, the odds were like fucking 12 to 1 that they would even get to the second round. They won the championship.
Yeah.
When they gave me the 500 cash, you should have seen those motherfuckers. Not only was I running game out of there. After a while, listen, I swear to you guys, I've been with you guys for 3 years. You ready for this one? It got to the point in there that if the phone rang 5 times, 3 of those calls were for Joey. They couldn't believe it.
Like coke orders? Or?
Coke orders.
3 of 5 and 25%.
Every delivery I made, I knew the people.
Yeah.
People knew I was there, and half of them knew
I was there. So it no longer became random people ordering from this Chinese place. It became you knew every fucking
me and
person.
My creepy fucking cocaine chain. And there was a fucking trailer park where the Kaidlu, what did I tell you his name was? Alex. Remember I told you I was in the halfway? He called me to the show early on, the very beginning.
Mexican dude.
Years later, Alex lived in that trailer park behind there. And in the back of that trailer park in Boulder, it was like fucking La Bamba. It was like 20 illegal Mexicans back there. Doug, that's where I was picking up coke. Listen, if cocaine was in those days...
Wait, that's where you went to get it?
Listen to me. It was a trailer park with white people living in the front. And then as you got to the back of the trailer park, like it was one house white, one house Mexican. But as you got to the back of it, this is 1980, fuck. This is 1994. As you got to the back of the trailer park, it got dark, but they were illegals. And they were the ones that mowed lawns and shit, but the half of them were there selling fucking powder. And I mean, right off the fucking brick. I don't know if they were cartels then. I mean, pop, and the thing would come out in the air like it would float.
Are you serious?
And they wouldn't even use a scale. They wouldn't even use a scale, these motherfuckers. Yeah. They became such friends with me talking Spanish, that I would go there and I'd pay them for 2 ounces, and I'd take it home. It was 3.5 ounces, because they'd just break it, pop. And they just put chunks all their way, and I take it. They were brown. They were brown Mexicans, dark, like they walked here, like they were fucking sunglasses. And I forget what their name was. You know me, bro. You know me, dog. I never fucking asked. I never fucking asked how they got here, if they used suntan lotion, what brand it was. I never asked them.
I gave a fuck about SPF.
Dog, yeah, I didn't ask these motherfuckers nothing. All I knew is they had some fucking coke that was tremendous. I was making money. I was working at this Chinese restaurant. And you know what, man? That was one of the... I knew I had no future there. I knew they were going to figure it out. And I remember going in there and going, I'm going to go on the road as a comedian. And they were all very nice to me. They were Vietnamese. They weren't Chinese. But they cooked Chinese. And they were so nice to me that I was like, fuck the war. I'm going to forgive you. What am I going to do? I'm going to hold a grudge against you?
You hold a personal grudge?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little kid from Cuba. I come here and the country's at war with somebody. I want to be an American. So psychological, I'm supposed to fucking hate you if I want to be this gung-ho fucking white kid. That's in the back of my mind. I wouldn't even talk to Vietnamese people. We're at fucking war with you. It took years. It took years to unwind my stupidness and my...
You got mad that I got Korean dumplings?
Oh, please. You know, we just went to war
He called me and he said the Chinese were here first. They got dibs.
They got dibs. You got to go ask them respect. They got dibs of Chinese. They've been here since the fucking railroads. You know what the fuck? The Koreans been throwing sidekicks for 30 years, teaching Taekwondo. The fucking the Asian Chinese people were here with the fucking railroads and shit. So how long did you do comedy in Baltimore?
Wait, I have a question for you. Go ahead, real brother. Quick. Do you dream in Spanish or English or both?
Both.
You do have Spanish? I mean, dreams where everything's Spanish or... I always wondered that about. And do you only speak... Do you speak other languages?
No, I just speak Spanish and English. I understand a little Italian. It's fucking crazy. Like, I've always been a spiritual guy. But I've always believed that my father looked over me after he died. I always really... My mom put it in my head. And people that were his friends said, listen, we know one thing. He's watching. You know, just... In 20 fucking years, I've been watching The Sopranos. 20 fucking years I've been watching The Sopranos. I didn't watch it for like 3 years, and then you hooked me on them. You go, I've been watching it again. So I started watching them again. And for the first time last night, I realized Tony found out Pussy was a rat because of a dream.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a dream that it came to him. So sometimes I get something in a dream, and I don't know how I feel. And a week later... Let me tell you something, what happened. I told you guys that fucking Nakafoli died. And that day, I talked to him that Friday. He died on a Sunday. Or on a Monday. They found him Monday morning.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I was at kettlebell class with you. We were on our backs. And when he said to do the back thing, the Turkish getup,
right.
I went to the other side because there was more room there and the air conditioner blows down on you. I'm not stupid. But when I... There's a fucking air conditioner blowing a fucking iceberg and everybody's sweating like a pig. I go right on. If I got to do sit-ups, I got to go under the air conditioner. You know what I'm saying? If you got to do sit-ups, that's hard enough. You got to go under the air conditioner. That's the only time I put the air on a motherfucker. I don't care if I hate you or not. Listen, I don't like you too much. But you're going to be doing sit-ups with that 8-pound ball. Get the air conditioner. So what are we talking about? So I turned around. I laid on my back.
Yeah.
You know when you pop yourself up to get air?
Yeah.
I turned around, and I looked at the boxing mitts. I swear to my mother, I got no... And I looked at those boxing mitts, And right away, I thought about Mac Foley. And I'm like, when I get out of here, I got to give Mac a call. I might have to go to Hollywood tomorrow morning to give blood. And I get home, and I go on Twitter, and it says R.I.P. Mac Foley on Twitter.
Are you serious? Yeah. It went like that?
So I'm the type of guy, listen, that first song I put on Twitter every morning, that first song, when I wake up, I put a song on Twitter. Guys, I got no reason to lie to you. That first song is the song I'm hearing when I'm pissing.
That's your wake up
piss. I'm talking about when I'm walking with the robe on with horrible breath, scratching my balls,
yeah.
And I go pee. That song that I hear when I'm peeing, that's the first song.
Like the song in your head, not even playing?
It's not playing. That song came from a dream I was having that night. I love music so much that I dream about music. Somewhere along the night, I dream about music. When you do the alpha brain, you have vivid fucking dreams.
Yeah.
They're scary fucking dreams the first couple weeks. You get a couple of headaches. Then you get over it and you feel like your mind. But this, when I dream, Terry will tell me. My wife will say you were speaking Spanish last night.
Yeah, you will.
Okay. Oh, fuck yeah. And I know the nights that I speak Spanish, the reason why she hears it through the sleep apnea mask is because I'm either having a conversation with Juan, I'm having a conversation with my godmother, or somebody from that era, somebody I spoke to in Spanish. Way before I had sleep apnea, people would tell me, dog, you know you speak Spanish in your sleep? I was just getting on my mom's death. I could just imagine what my dreams are going through. I was probably talking to one of her brothers on the phone or whatever the fuck it is. But yeah, I dream in Spanish.
I don't dream much, but I have one particular dream a couple years ago. So my father died when I was 16, and he was everything to us. I mean, he was everything.
Where was mom's?
My mother decided to split. She cheated on my dad, and then they decided to get a split, and we were going into sixth grade. And they were apart for a year. They got back together, and then like a couple years later, boom, she wanted out. So she left, and he took custody of us.
Now, where's your mom today?
She's back in Maryland.
You talk to her?
I see her at my brother's parties, like when they have the kids and stuff, and I'll never make that about me. Especially in front of those kids. So the minimal, I would say, we both speak to each other. Yeah, which is really what she's involved in, mostly in the family anyway. Her choice, that's what she wanted. My dad wanted all of us. You know, they went to court for it. And my mother said, I don't want Ryan. Derek can come with me if he wants. I want Todd, the youngest one. And my father's like, well, I want all my kids. But if you're going to just give custody to my wife because she's the mother, then I think they should all be together. Like, I'll sacrifice it. And the judge was a woman, and she just was blown away to hear a mother say that, you know, well, I don't want this one. I'll take this one if they want. So she gave my father custody, made my mother pay him child support in 89. Like, you don't hear that often today. So we lived with him for a while, And then he died. He had a heart attack. We found him in his bed in the morning, and that was just when everything changed. Life changed. How old was he? He was 42. He's my age right now. Yeah. I mean, I think about it all the time. Like, God, 42 is fucking young. And he's got two 16-year-olds and a 12-year-old, and the day he's buried is my youngest brother's 13th birthday. So we end up having to be put back in with our mother. And we raised ourselves. We were two 16-year-olds and a 13-year-old. We went to school every day. We signed each other's permission slips. We drove each other to school. We had all our friends come over during the week. Like, their parents really, you know, we had our normal. None of us got arrested. We certainly had the police over. You know what I mean? We did. We had our fair share of trouble, believe me. But nothing, you know, that got too fucking crazy. So the parents knew we were good kids and liked us. And they let their kids. I even talk to all those guys now. I'm like, would you let your kids go on a Wednesday night? And no. And I'm like, yeah, but yours did. We got to remember to be that fucking cool in the right situation, you know, when we're parents. And I was thankful they did, because that all we had was our friends. So we can come back to the dream I had was, and I don't dream much, and they don't really mean anything. They're, you know, if I dream something, I'm like, I don't know, I was in this weird fucking place that kind of felt like the kitchen, but it wasn't the kitchen, you know, that bullshit. But this was, I was in a helicopter, and I'm flying it, and I'm not flying it well, and it's all cloudy around us, and it's bouncing off the ground, and, you know, it's going up, and I'm looping the fucking thing, and I turn around, and my dad says, pull up on it. And I look back, I'm like, oh, shit, there's my dad here. And he's telling me how to fly this thing, clearly, like he's done it before. He knows exactly what I'm supposed to do up there. I'm nervous because, obviously, this would be an emergency situation that I would ever be fucking attempting to fly a helicopter. And I feel that in my dream. So I start to get it. We're getting ready to go under an overpass. And I pull up. And then we get it level. And we come up. And then this other helicopter comes over alongside of us. And my father, I look back, he's face down now. And I don't know if he's dead or passed out or what. This helicopter comes up, opens their side door. Our side door opens. And my dad just points over at it. And then I fucking woke up. And I was like, that is probably the answer to everything and absolutely nothing at fucking all. But to me, I don't dream like that. I've never dreamt like that. And I was like, wow, that was a... So I've certainly looked into that a bunch as like, you need to fucking, you know, take that jump. Trust and take that leap wherever it's going. And that's what I've been doing for a while.
You know, that story broke my heart a little bit.
I didn't mean to break your heart.
No. All that shit breaks my heart. But at the same time, I'm very proud of Lee. And now Lee, hilarious this morning. We were talking when Lee's father was in the car. And he goes, well, I'm coming back in February. I go for a month this time. And I could hear Lee wanting to take his car and crash it into the fucking
I love my dad, but it's a long time to have something there.
That is a long
you
time.
You don't.
And you were tormenting me the entire time. I have a Mexican girlfriend whose mother doesn't speak English. The entire weekend in front of me, he'd be going, "Hey, Mr. Sayat, let's call the mother-in-law. Let's get you guys together." And I'd be like, "Well, she doesn't speak English," and he would go, "Perfect."
Oh my God, he was down for anything. But you don't understand where a guy like myself. Have you ever gotten over your father's death?
I mean, honestly, no. I've never gotten over that one. That was. I've gotten better about it with time, and I've certainly dealt with it. But there's. I mean, especially having a kid now too. You know, can't help but not think of him being that age. I'm 42. He was 42. Like that goes through my mind. I always say this. I want to be something, and my father was everything, and I love the man. But I want to be something that he never was, and that's an old man. I want to be an old man. He was not an old man.
At least I am. I don't give a fuck if you slag off on this job. I don't give a fuck if you don't show up. As long as you keep flying your dad out twice a year and spending time with him, that means more to me from a human being, especially me who lost my dad. And that's what you guys don't realize at home. You know, I call you 10 times a day. Once I start liking you, Ryan, you're going to get calls all hours of the night.
About nothing. He'll call you. Like,
but he said, once I start.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't begun.
Oh, my God. Because people have been taken away from me. Oh, so the people I like, yes. I want them to make sure we have no misunderstandings. If I die in my sleep, I want you to say, that motherfucker called me last night and said not to answer the phone for the cops.
He got me really high one night, and it was a night that we were yelling at this dude on the phone, like threatening to beat him up. Oh. And then he kept calling me, don't answer the door when the cops come. Every 15 minutes.
Can you imagine if somebody calls me and says, Joe, did you hear about Joe? He had a heart attack in his sleep. Oh, my God. He's going to fucking cry. But then he's going to go, that motherfucker was calling me last night telling me not to answer the fucking phone. Do you understand me? That's why you got to have fucking fun, man. You got to have so much fun. And if you have a parent, listen, man, if you're not in a relationship with a fucking parent, and this is why I'm pissed in so many ways at my ex-wife, because she knows how I felt for years. When you don't have a parent, you yearn for one.
Oh, yeah.
You yearn for one. Yeah. And sometimes I might not like a motherfucker. And also, I'm at the store, and a comic I might not like walk in, but he'll come home and go, this is my dad, Joey. And I'll go, that'll turn my whole perspective. Now I'm going to give this guy a second look. I didn't like this guy. But look, he's walking him to the bar. He's buying him a drink. They look like they have a great relationship.
And his dad is also there.
That's
supporting.
You know, yeah. I respect that. And people don't realize as they get older that You know, when you go to a, that's a big issue in those nursing homes, when somebody comes to visit you. My nephew is here. You know, you make like a big deal when you're old. So
right.
You just say it because it's big that people are even fucking thinking of you. You know, I was telling, when I was like 16, when I was a kid, I used to hang out at my mother's bar, and there was a bookie there, Arnaldo DeCampo. If I think of people who made me laugh growing up, nobody made me laugh harder than Nardo, because he would always say perverted things to me. Like, he would always ask me if I'm pissing sweets yet. In Spanish. And he would
what does
ask,
that even mean?
I don't know. He would, like, if I'm coming or something, he would ask me if I'd eaten chicks' assholes and all this shit. When I was, like, 10, he would ask me. And I started thinking, this motherfucker's crazy. But, he was at my mom's bar every day. And I learned to love him and his brother. And he had kids and daughters who were really dynamite. And after my mom died, they closed the bar, and they went around the corner to a bar called Otto's. And I got a job there in high school. I had no mom, and I had to make some money, and the guy knew me. So he gave me a job, even though I was like 18, and I had never bought. There was no bar backing job for 90 days. This guy hired me. He's a bar and shop bar. And Arnaldo now sat. Arnaldo was his name. And he would sit there in the afternoons and take number till 3, but he would have drinks. And he had a great living, guys. He was on unemployment or disability the whole year round. I don't know how the fuck he did it. And he was a bookie, and he got maybe 50% of what he took in. He was probably taking in $10,000 a week, guys, and he'd sit there all day. Remember, in those days, when you come in to bet a number, you got to have a drink. Give him a drink, please, on me, and you pay, and boom, you leave. Arnaldo would be tanked at 3 o'clock. So one night, I tell Arnaldo, listen, I'm bartending tonight, a bunch of... He would always tell me, when are you going to fix me up with that hot chick? When are you going to fix me up with a hot chick? When are you going to fix me up with a hot chick? So one Monday, I call him up. I go, Arnaldo, go home at 3, take a nap.
Somehow, I don't think Arnaldo's getting a girl.
I'm 18. Arnaldo's got to be 58. And he's a good-looking dude. He's got a big guy, like he's got muscles. But he's got a big pot belly. Huge. Huge. Bigger than mine, the longest shirt. And he went out like 5 feet. But he was built, you know, and he would sit there. So I that Monday night, this is like my third Monday I'm bartending, and I tell Arnaldo to go show up at 8, and there's going to be some chicks there waiting for him. And I had no chicks for him, but I knew hot chicks were going to be there. And he would just get a kick out of it, just because I knew the type of guy he would get a kick out of it. So he's sitting in the corner, and I send 3 chicks over there from high school. I go sit next to my Uncle Arnaldo. And he don't speak no English.
Right.
He's Cuban. He don't speak no fucking English. He's fucking sitting there like, laughing. And all of a sudden the girl's like, do you want to smoke pot? And he's like, get these things, Antonio. And I'm like, if you want to smoke pot, he's like, yeah. I'll smoke pot. I smoke pot. You know what I'm saying? He's old. And I'll never forget the look on his face. That these people that were young asked him if he wanted to get high. And listen, they used to be regular bamboo, like regular rolling paper, and then they used to be big bamboo. And it was like a joint and a half. And in those days, all those girls were potheads, and they used to smoke chocolate traumatized. But girls, that's
chocolate
what they,
traumatized.
Oh my God, this weed, fuck, it was chocolate Thai.
Chocolate
Thai weed from Jamaica, and they would sell it up in the little Jamaica incense stores in Harlem in those days. So they rolled a joint of this, and then we were smoking pot in the fucking bar in those days. This is before medical marijuana licenses.
Yeah.
We didn't give a fuck, Lisa. I had. So we sparked this joint up, and there's Arnaldo in the corner table with 3 hot chicks. hot 18-year-old chicks. And they're puffing away, and they're giving him the joint, and he's taking it, and he's doing a Lee at first. And then he's giving it to them. But I'm waving at him, and he's waving at me, and he's talking to the girls. And that joint goes around 2 times, and it comes to him the 3rd time, and he hits it, and he gives it to the one girl, and the girl doesn't want it. He gives it to the 2nd girl, she don't. And I'm watching all this from the bar. But he's a soldier. He keeps...
So everyone says no.
And he keeps hitting that fucking thing. And he keeps looking at me like he's looking at me, like waving at me with the joint, like look at me. And he's giving it to the girl, and he's giving it, and nothing. And all of a sudden, I give it 10 minutes, I get busy, and I look back, and he's looking at the chase like that. He's sideways on the table.
And it's chocolate Thai. It's not just regular weed. And this, you know, he's hitting the high octane shit.
And this motherfucker.
But he still hits it on the way down. That's what I love about
this motherfucker.
Good old man. He's going down swinging. He's like, fuck this, I'm in.
He's got a half joint. It's burning his finger.
He's
holding on the deal like, and he's still passing the joint to the broad, and they go, no. Finally, I get busy again. I look over, and he's passed on the table. And the girl's got up, and he's snoring. He's
he just smoked himself to sleep.
Man. Oh, my God. We had to carry him home and bring his doorbell and bring him up the stairs to his wife. 18 years old. Meet Larry McNeil, Darren Rago, and Glenn Conti.
Oh, my God.
Fucking hilarious. Otto's Bar and Grill, dog. Let me tell you how I had Otto's Bar and Grill on fucking lockdown.
Are you just taking over these businesses?
Let me tell you how I had these fucking momos on lockdown. All right, so at the end of the night.
I'm going to get sick.
At the end of the night, you had to register. And what they did was you X'd out, which means you paid out, and then you counted the money, and then they had the credit card and the cash and the draw. And the people would come in on the tab. And then he would come in the morning, but he was a drunk, too. The guy played on the Chicago Bears, Chicago Bulls. I forget what his name is now. If you give me a couple days, I'll give it. He was a white guy. He didn't really play. If you look at the lineup in 73 or 72, he was on the Bulls. He was a white guy from Unison. In fact, he just died. I looked his name up a couple months ago. He died. But anyway, to make a long story short, this is what you had to do in those days. So,
Wait, 1 second. 92 to 73 or 73 to 74?
What?
The Bulls.
He played 1973, but you got to look at the team picture. I don't remember his fucking name.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, never mind.
Okay, so you look at the roster. That's another way.
Yeah, I'm at the 73. Roster.
Teddy Martuniak. That was his fucking name.
Wow, you just pulled that out.
Teddy Martuniak.
That is fucking professional.
Okay, right, and there. He had Otto's Bar and Grill. That and in is front of Otto's Bar and Grill, something I'll never forget, right in front of Otto's Bar and Grill, every day from 11 to 6, was a Sabret hot dog cart. With those fucking... No, I'm lying to you. He did not have steak on a stick in those days. And he had moved from 29th Street. He was on the corner of Chappie's in those days, a flower shop across the street. In fact, I used to run with a dude there. His name was Nunzio, a.k.a. his cousin is the kid from The Office. The Spanish-Mexican kid.
Oscar?
Oscar's. Nunzio, how's that one for you? That's how I'm dropping fucking heat tonight on you.
Oh, my God.
So let me tell you how I took over this fucking joint. So...
Hold on. Was this hot dog stand better than Mustard's Last Stand?
Yeah, this was a New York hot dog, Sabret, New York style chili with some raw onions. And stop it. That's a bad motherfucker with a can of Coke in the wintertime. You're out there freezing.
Can of Coke.
Shit. All right, so you took the fucking cash.
From where?
Listen to me, from the register.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's say in the daytime they wrote up maybe $2,000, and at night maybe they did. 3,000. So they have 5,000, maybe 4,000 in cash. So this is what the bartender was supposed to do at the end of the night. Whoever the shift was, you had a day shift and a night shift. You're supposed to reach under the fucking bar and take an envelope, a regular envelope from a box, and put the cash in there with the receipt, lick it, and go to the back to the refrigerator, open up the margarine thing, and put it in there. And you go in there, and Martuniak was a drunk. He wouldn't show up for days. So there'd be 10 envelopes. All right?
Yeah.
So while I was there, come on, guys. That's as easy as algebra. Yeah. I take an envelope, rip it open, take a 50, and put the thing in the way it was. So now there's a discrepancy on one of the fucking
nights.
So now, listen to this, guys.
You're bleeding them dry.
I was bleeding them dry while I was working there. Right? Here I am in high school. A senior, bleeding them dry. I had all my buddies down there on Monday nights. They got 3 beers for the price of 1. Or an Alabama Slam. I got them fucked up. Fucked up. We're in fucking height. You want to eat another? Let's split this last star.
I'm good, man.
No, let's split this half star to respect.
No.
We'll do this is the star that they shot. This is the cousin to the star that shot Kennedy in the head. Kennedy was waving in Dallas, and the same star came out of a window. And just blast them in the fucking head like this.
Are we really splitting this right now? I already hit three.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, fuck.
You can't walk on one leg. It's Monday, motherfucker. Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters. You got to lead by motherfucking example. You know what I'm saying? Just because you march,
so
just because you march up and down the street, don't mean you're fucking starting a revolution.
What?
So, anyway, don't worry.
Don't worry.
So they fired me. Listen to this one.
Yeah.
I made a spare of the key.
Couple. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Of course,
come on,
he did.
In those days, I was fucking gone.
That's the first. He's definitely got a key guy.
That's the first thing they did to me. That's
a key guy.
That's the first thing they did to me. That's the first thing I did when they gave me the key.
I put all my money on Joey Diaz has a key guy.
So what I did was, ready for this one, I fucking would go to the city, get fucked up, and then I get six. My friends would go, we need more coke. Fuck it. Take me down to Otto's. I'd open up the bar, go to the back, take an envelope. And now, since I wasn't working there, if there was four envelopes, I'd take 100 of an envelope and take one whole one. Like, fucking.
For later.
Like, for later. Like, now envelopes are
so
missing.
So every envelope would be
no
missing
surveillance
a yardstick.
In there, yeah.
No, it was 1982.
Oh.
And then they finally fight. Then they said fucking, because a Bagolino worked in there. A chick of Bagolino. And like her cousin was mobbed up. So she was dating a friend of mine that I grew up with. But her pussy was so good that he shook me down. He came to me and said, listen, you got to stop robbing them. Because they're blaming Doreen and fucking, you know. And I'm like, he's like, the next time you rob me, you're going to deal with me. And I'm like, dog, I grew up in your fucking house. I was at your little brother's fucking wake. How dare you say you're going to shake me down? He's like, I'm serious. You robbed that place again, we're going to have a fucking problem. So when we hooked up after 20 years, that's the first thing I told him. He goes, her pussy was so good. It was between you or her fucking little pussy.
That's very honest.
He oh, my God. Yeah, loose, he's my man. Brother. I talk to him once every 10 days, Frankie Balzano. I love him. He was going to fucking shoot me over it. I'm like, how can you shoot me over this? Oh, my God. I used to take over shit like that all the time. For months, I'd bleed him. I bled them for about 90 days till they figured out that I had the key.
Dude, it's all within 90 days?
I got fired probably in May, and I robbed them till September. The whole summer. You want to go down?
Yes.
You want to go down the shore? You want to go down the shore at 4 in the morning? Give me a ride down to Otto's. We're going to go down the shore. Let me go.
I can get right in.
Oh, my God. This was so fucking crazy. This is fucking crazy.
So you just get a new job every 90 days.
And rob in between. And remember, in those days, we had hashways. So we had a tab at Hashway, and we go in there and rob chips. We still rob Hashway for everything he had, even though he put us on the fucking tab. Once we take over your fucking restaurant, it was, and I just knew how to do it. I had another place in Bowl that I met him in the halfway house. He was lame as Antonio Lodizio. I loved him like a father. He had the best Italian food in fucking Colorado at the time, the best in Boulder, the best fucking bolognese I ever tasted in my life. You couldn't taste the lamb. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they put in it. The goat. Whatever.
Yeah, the goat.
The goat.
The ram.
The hoof. The hoof. Yeah.
The hoof.
So you couldn't taste. And he had something else I liked in there. And he had a great fucking, I told you, he had a baker. And I used to do, in those days I was doing stand-up. And on Tuesdays was my big night at the broker. So on Mondays I would have to prepare material. So I'd go to the Lodizio and sit with the baker, and I'd drink coffee and eat pastries all night. He would make pastries. And I'd just sit there and eat all the fucking samples, ice cream and shit. And I would sit there. I had that place shaken down.
House in the
How do you keep all these people straight? And they're like, I could go for some pastries. Okay. The Lodizio.
And I just got Lodizio knock on the glass. And and Joe Koch, who I still talk to, he owns a bagel place in Mississippi. I would knock on the glass, and he'd open the fucking glass.
Your reach is impressive.
Oh, dog, if I'm in fucking Mississippi, that guy fed me.
Wait, did you fuck with him so much that he had to move to Mississippi? Or
no,
is
no,
he
no,
from
he sold his house. That's my brother. Joe Koch is still my brother. He had a daughter that passed. They sent me an invitation to her graduation on a Thursday. And on Monday, they called me, and she was dead, dog.
Jeez.
I still got the card. I light a candle for all my spirits.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And I have the card they sent me with a candle in it. He's my brother, Joe Koch. Let me tell you about Joe. Joe Koch was a white dude from Mississippi. Me and him used to hit it off. And you guys know
where
me.
You met him in Denver?
I met him in Boulder. He was the chef. Me, him, and his wife were tight. When they had Julia, and then they had the other child, Emma. But his father, something was wrong with his father, so he said, move to Mississippi. At that time, they moved. He learned how to make bagels. He moved to Mississippi, opened up a bagel shop by Louisiana, the Mississippi State. It was a gold mine. Nobody thought of that in 1994, guys. Yeah. He's a millionaire today.
Oh,
you know, he's a fucking millionaire today. But I'm going to tell you what this guy did for me. This guy, and Lee, you know me a long time. At this time, I was starting comedy. And I'd be alone with him, and I'd go off on pussy and shit, and he'd stop me. He's the first man ever that got away with going, Joey, excuse me. You know, I don't like that type of language. And I loved him so much that I would fucking say, you know what? Oh, I get it.
Was he older than you?
No, maybe 2 or 3 years. He just didn't like when I spoke perverted. He didn't mind if I said a curse word or if I said a racial slur. Like, he didn't mind. But he got pissed off if I said fucker in the ass or
that was his line.
He didn't fucking like it at all. He used to say, dog, you can't talk like that in front of me. But when I got into the...
Gotta draw a line somewhere.
When I got into the beef with John, my wife's boyfriend, I wasn't allowed to pick up the baby, and he volunteered. So I never forgot that. He wasn't a guy from Jersey. He wasn't a fucking guy from New York. He was no mafia guy. He was a white dude from Mississippi that didn't like me talking fucking dirty around him. But he had enough respect for me. He knew what I was going through. That he was like, I'll pick her up and I'll fucking drop her off.
That's
they
awesome.
Fuck with me, I'll knock him out.
Yeah.
So you know what? I call him on Mondays because on Monday I light a candle for his daughter. So usually I give him a call. I go, Joe Koch, I'm thinking about you, cocksucker. He goes, I can't talk right now. I'm making bagels, and he hangs up. Let me give some shout outs. We'll get you out of here, Ryan. I'm having a great time.
Oh, me too, man. Thank
Virus
you so
Action
much.
Sports Performance Wear. They sent us some rash guards.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
For me and Lee to wear for jiu-jitsu. I put mine on today. Fucking comfortable as shit. Great material. It's durable. You know, I haven't beat it up a couple times. I wore it today, but I'll tell you, I just want to thank them, give them a shout out. I think I got their card. I hope I brought it with me. I always try to be very, you know me.
You always do that?
My man's name is Travis at virusinfo.com, 888-607-0990. It's Virus. Yeah, yeah, this is great stuff in Huntington Beach. Virus, whatever the fuck it is, Action Sports Performance. Also, Jamie Stanley, my girl Lady Jane, Brian Singer, friend of mine's from VMAC, Amber Myers, Brandy Lynn, Zach Halverson, Mike Levin, Evelyn Black Price, and Pat Shea kicking ass with his little motherfucking podcast.
What about, I'm blanking on his name right now, our dude in Chicago in the wheelchair?
Yeah, he got an accident today. No, Kern. Michael Kern. Yeah, he got hit. But that, listen. That motherfucker.
He's tough as shit.
I told him. I said, listen, I ain't even worried about you because you're in a wheelchair. You still sling dick. You smoke dope with three fucking legs. Who gets their dick sucked in a wheelchair? Nobody gets their dick sucked. He's a freak. I love him with all my fucking heart. He goes to all the shows.
He's doing stand-up now.
Is he? Yeah, he's trying to. He's a good dude, man. I've known him for years since the Rogan show. And then we became tight on fucking Twitter, and I love him to death.
Yeah.
I love him to death. You know what I'm saying? So what else is going on in your world, Ryan Sickle?
I got to go to the bathroom. Well, hurry. Can I do that, please?
Take your time, but hurry up. We got shit crack a lack in here. You want to eat another star or what?
No, I don't need another
I can't
star.
Believe you made me do that.
You want to roll another joint? We can roll another fucking number. Smoking on Periscope. Let these motherfuckers know who's running shit. You know what I'm saying? Lee Sciatico, my brother from a different Manon.
Hey, buddy.
I'm very happy that you brought the old man out, even if we went to get sushi.
No, yeah, thank you.
We went to the fucking store.
He loves it, man. He watches. He always calls me, Joey did a great Periscope this morning. He goes, I always get high when I'm watching him. He's not even smoking. He just, because you always blow the smoke in the camera. I feel high.
I fucking love those Periscopes in the morning. I really do have a great time doing those.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if I like this morning, I got up at 4. And I was so fucked up when I went to bed. And I get up this morning, guys, and I get some coffee, and I'm doing it all legit. And I'm starting to write, and after 20 minutes, I go, what am I doing? I got some sativa outside, and I go out there, and I blast off 3 or 4 hits of this little hash pipe. And now I got a little hash pipe, so now I break the hash off, Lee, and I just put it into the pipe solo, and I sprinkle a little loose hash on top of that. And I just smoke the fucking hash.
What do you call
old
that?
Old school.
Because it's a hamburger.
Yeah, no, I didn't make no Puerto Rican hamburgers. I got so fucked up at 4 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
It took me till about 5:45. At about 5:45, I went in there, and we went to the farmer's market on Sunday, and we bought a couple of white peaches. I inhaled all of them, and I fucking went to bed at like 6 and slept till 7:30 in the morning, guys.
Oh, my God.
I was wiped out. I was so fucking high this morning. But you know what? I wrote for an hour and a half.
It's cool.
And then I got up. I went to a nice jiu-jitsu class with John Butter VMAC. I got my fucking alignment on my car. I brought up, I did a lot of shit the last 3 or 4 days. I like when I take a bite, I gotta redo that room and shit. You know, I gotta put this piece in there, the bedroom. I gotta move shit around, the office. I gotta do it. Jesus.
That's exactly what I was doing today, painting Jesus walls and moving furniture.
When you have children, the shit stock up. So, yeah, you're very, you're one of the few guys that when your name comes up in a circle, everyone in the circle really fucking likes you, man.
That's nice to hear.
I really like you. Thank you.
I appreciate
you. You're very easygoing for a guy from Baltimore. People always say you're a real stand-up guy. I didn't know if you did time or whatever.
No, I've never done that. I've hung around quite a few people who have, but no, I have not done time.
That's the first time I remember all that shit from Boulder guys, Ron and...
Ron is the best.
Ron definitely hasn't recovered.
Oh, my God. I was milking so many fucking people back then. I was a fucking...
What was your best hustle? What was your favorite? What was your favorite, if it wasn't Ron?
My favorite hustle always has been the process of the coke burn. That is the one I like.
The coke burn?
The process of getting a drug dealer and taking them down. That's always been my... I was telling Lee, like, my forte. Yes, let's say right now, everything ended today. Everything ended today. If everything ended today and I had to feed my family, I would book numbers and I would book sports out of an office like this. And in 30 days, I'd have me and Lee making dough. Just taking action on the phone, going partners with Lee, bankrolling motherfuckers and taking our chances. If we get an amount we can't handle, we call it off. We got a utopia, we fucking sleep with it. But if there's somebody who calls in for $10,000, we pass on $5,000 of it. And you can make a small living as a bookie. And if you get some momentum and build $10,000 or $20,000, you could do okay in a football season. You could pull down $100,000. And in today's economy, you collect it. You get 6 or 7 people, and they pay you your fucking money.
We should do that.
Yeah, you think it's that fucking easy. You have to do it correctly. There's a way to do it. That's why I come in. The problem is that as fucking good as I am with that shit, the computer adds a complete different dimension of betting and PayPal. Yeah. What's the money? So there's a whole market that I'm missing that I mean, know nothing about.
PayPal's just as guilty of doing it as a guy in the neighborhood. And they're getting their cut.
And the thing is,
bless you.
Look, salute. I'm right. The thing is that, you know, a bookmaking charge becomes something else if we do it online. Mail fraud or something like that, which now becomes federal time, which might work out for you. You know, it's a lot better than sitting in fucking Newark. I'd rather sit in Lompoc with a bunch of white people talking about stock fraud and how to shine your shoes correctly.
I used to work at...
I got allergies. I got to scratch the back of my throat. It's most people do it like a regular person. They go... I got to go and scratch the back of my throat. I'm sorry.
I'm glad that happened. I used to work at UPS in Baltimore, and I worked there for a few years, and I, you know, worked my way up to supervisor and everything. I was fucking hustling. I've been on my own since 16. I ended up moving in with my grandmother, and she dropped dead in front of us. She was the only one that wanted us. And then, boom, we're out, and it's on, okay? There's been no one to ever ask to borrow, you know, a dollar, nothing. So I worked at UPS, and it was I put myself through college, and I would work there like the, you know, 10-2 was my shift, 10 p.m. 2 a.m. And I started working doubles, and I would go right from college, I'd go 4-2. Well, in Baltimore in the winter, those trucks coming up out of Tupelo, Mississippi and stuff, if there's a blizzard somewhere on the way, you're waiting until 4 or 5 in the morning for that truck to get there. And these guys are union, they're full-time, one of the few hubs still in the country, I believe, that had full-time guys. So these dudes are, by seniority, waiting for that paycheck. and there will be a dude down in the cafeteria. So it's a big building. So this cafeteria, I'd say, maybe had like 15 or 20 food, you know, vending machines, sell subs and whatever. You know, you had your choice of it. And there was this dude. There was a dude named Pat who was not a UPS employee. He was employed by the company that owned all the vending machines, and he was paid by them, and the job was assigned to him by the state to refill those vending machines all day long. Now, he was there, and he ran that fucking joint. He ran. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
He was the Joey Diaz of that fucking thing, and he knew everybody. He'd be like, hey, what's going on, Joey? As soon as he walked by, that motherfucker's wife's cheating on him. Like, he knew everything about everybody. He'd say, his blood pressure. This motherfucker's going to die on the job. Everything about everybody. And he was the guy. He was the fucking guy. So what happened was he came home. Let me just tell you, this was his story. Okay, I'm repeating his story. He came home and he found his best friend in his bed with his wife, and he shot both of them. She lived. He died.
Oh, no.
Okay. And as he'll tell you, this was before temporary insanity or passions of, crime of passion and all that shit. This was back then, this was just called murder. An attempted murder. That's what this shit was called. So he's like, I just couldn't believe it. So I fucking went in there and I just shot.
Oh my God.
And he said, I got 20. He got 20 years. He said he did 18 for good behavior. And then when he got out, the state assigned him this job. This is his job now, is to take, you know, and also to raise. He's got grandkids and shit, you know. This time he's white hair at this point, probably mid-60s. Coolest fucking guy. I mean, these are the guys I love. Like, I always say, that shit to me is Americana. Like, I don't care where you're originally from. Like, if it's here and it happens here, I love that. Those characters. Too. And so this guy's filling these machines, and he'll straight up tell you, I can't live off of this shit. So he's running football. He's running basketball. Whatever the fuck you want.
1,000 angles.
Everything.
Man. Every day you're waking up, your mind's going.
And every day he would just use, people don't understand his system, but you get it. I mean, when you run numbers, you use the existing lottery. You just don't give the government your money. You give somebody else your money, and you're going to get more money tax-free. So every night when he would leave, he'd leave around 7 o'clock. He'd do like an 11 to 7 shift or something. Long day for a dude just sitting there. He knew everybody. You go down, you say, I want to go to the bathroom, and you'd leave the primary where you're unloading and loading, and you go down the steps, and you go by his table in the cafeteria, but it's empty now. You just go by his table, and right on the table on a napkin is the pick 4 and the pick 5 every fucking night. And every supervisor all the way to the top gave that motherfucker their money. We all played in the one night. I bounced around. So much shit happened. We ended up getting into this apartment. And I was like, I'm just going to play the pick four of this new address. Something good's got to come out of this shit. So one night I get there and Pat's like, Ryan. I said, I hit traffic, man. He goes, it hit. I said, don't fucking tell me it hit, Pat. He's like, it hit. I said, come on, Pat. And I think it was like 6546 or some shit. And it hit. It was boxed. It wasn't a straight, but it was still $2,500 that I could have fucking used, and I didn't. I couldn't get there in time. And there was no cell phone days back then where I could have texted him shit like, Pat, put that shit in for him. He's like, I waited as long as I could. I was like, God damn it. But yeah, man, that dude was the best.
I got arrested in November of 88 for kidnapping. No, November. I got arrested in November of 87, okay?
Hold on. November of 88.
November of 87.
87.
Sorry.
Okay.
But my madness started, like my real drug madness, like a life that was crazy, started like in June of that year. And what happened was I was selling Subarus, and I was making so much money, and they were snorting there, and I was snorting at night, and it was just a joke. And I said, you know what? I got to get away from these cokeheads. You know, and I said, let me go over to Hollister Dodge Chrysler Plymouth. They had a Dodge building, and they had a Chrysler Plymouth building. The Chrysler Plymouth building, after 3 days, I realized those four guys were doing as much coke by themselves as the 14 guys.
Holy shit.
And there was a guy already, and he was getting an ounce, and he had four salesmen, three salesmen. and everybody was getting a gram. Some people had a tab with them. It was hilarious. The cocaine was world class.
That's what I want to say.
It's 1987. Huh? It's world class. There's days you would go in there and there'd be a customer, and those salesmen were so coked up, that customer walked for an hour. Nobody would come out and talk. It was crazy, crazy deal.
You're a little paranoid?
Paranoid as fuck.
Somebody come help me.
So I get the whole hang of the operation. Now, there's a kid I got on mental control. I got this boy on mental control. His name is Rob Dando.
Of course it is.
And he used a red Parker pen, and it was the maroon one. So what I would do is, when I learned as a salesman that you got to crack people. Cracking people is get them off their game, and then you pick up where they left off. Sometimes it backfires, but if you're very good at it, you could do something good. It's like you're a great salesman, but I come up to you and I go, hey, Lee's getting 18% on his deals. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm getting 15. Yeah, you got to. So that right there is playing with your head. That's psychological warfare. Right. There was a kid in there that I had on lockdown. There was two guys. I had Rob Dando and I had this other kid. He was from fucking somewhere up north, like North Dakota, and they had no weed. And I could get weed. So I'd buy a pound, I'd take like 3 ounces out, and I'd wet the weed and puff, puff it up and get like...
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And then he'd take it up, then it'd dry out, and he'd go, I don't know what the fuck's happening. The people would yell at him. I waited. It was 14 ounces. I get it up there. It's 12 and a half. Fucking hilarious. I had every time he came back, I had him on lockdown. Listen, I don't know what happened. It ain't going to happen next time. Yeah. The next time, I'd even take more. I put ice cubes in there on delay.
Ice cubes.
I had that motherfucker. I had rocks in the bottom of the bag. Oh, little chunky God rocks. Damn. I would put little rocks into the buds. I was fucking... I was horrible. So I have this fucking moron, but I got this other moron that was driving me crazy. He was a very good salesman. He was very aggressive. But, dog, I wanted the bonus every month. And there was only one way I could control this guy, and it was with mental control. So he had a red Parker pen, and I let him take it up, which is a custom. I let him demo ride him. And then when it came time to sell the car, there was always one detail, and he would leave his pen on the desk. And I would go in there and take the fucking pen in the middle of the deal. And he'd come in and go, excuse me, I can't find my pen. And he'd walk around for 20 minutes looking for that pen. And he wouldn't go back in there until he found his pen.
Jesus.
So he'd tell the people to go home and come back tomorrow.
Come on.
Oh, my God, it was hilarious. And I'd do this to him every 3 days. I'd steal his red pen. If I saw his red pen laying out there, I'd clip that fucking pen. And he would crack. But here's what gets better. He had 4 kids and a wife. And he did more blow than fucking everybody. I mean, this guy would do blow at 8 in the morning and not eat all
day. All the car guys are all doing blow.
But this guy, I never saw anything like. Listen, okay. At this time, I knew my weakness was coke. But I also knew I couldn't do it in the daytime. So I would try to hold off till 6 o'clock or 7. This kid, Rob, did blow all fucking day. From 8 in the morning, he'd be in there doing little bumps, and once he put a piece of gum in his mouth, and he'd be fucking that gum up. You know those coke dudes? They'll fuck a piece of gum up. They'll chew that fucking gum with anger, you cocksucker. Right, so Rob would suck this gum to the death, but Rob was selling coke. Rob was like, fuck it. I'm going to do what this Artie's doing. I might as well get a big package and sell coke to the Dodge guys or whatever. But he didn't know that I used to watch him. You know me, dog. I'm counting surveillance. I used to watch him, and he used to have those ceilings that popped up, and he would hide his coke in the ceiling at this place. Guys, listen to me. You know George Kaladinsky that called into the podcast?
Of course I know George.
George was renting cars out to the girls at the strip club from the Dodge place for $100 a week with a license plate. Listen to me. You want to talk about running a joint?
Yeah.
Plus, we both had demos, top-of-the-line demos that they didn't even know they had. Only the bank knew that they had it. We would take those cars as soon as they got there. Guys, this wasn't a fucking joke. We were robbed. Now, here's where it gets better.
How do you keep all this stuff in your head straight? Those are like 30 scams you're running at once.
You're talking about your fucking moron buddy here with the fucking machines? I had the key to the vending machine. I would go in there every morning. The soda machine would take the money, transfer it to cash. Some white dude and would put cash back in the thing. I would go in there. There'd be $300 in cash. I'd take $200 off the top, and a couple cans of soda. I had the key, and I put it right back in the bookkeeper's desk.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the game I was running there was horrific. I robbed the lock guy. The lock guy was trying to sell coke, too. I asked him one morning, where's your coke? He goes, I got it at home. I sent them on a mission to go get a car in Lakewood. I went and robbed this house. Fucking hilarious.
Are you serious?
He came back. Somebody robbed my house. I went, I've been here all day, dog. I don't know what the fuck you're talking. Fucking horror show.
Holy shit, yeah.
I'm happy you came on tonight, Ryan Sickler. I had a good time.
I am too, man. Thank you for having me on.
I always try to get I always try to get crazier people on Monday night to get the party started so people doing that thing on Tuesday mornings. Now you have a podcast.
Yeah.
Very successful.
Yeah.
People fucking love it.
Yeah, we have great fans.
How long you been doing it?
I'd say 3.5 years now.
Yeah, we've been doing it. How many episodes a week?
Just one episode every Tuesday.
Who did it last week? I just bumped into somebody who did
Josh Roberts.
Steve Simone.
Yeah, Simone. Simone's, I'm doing his.
Okay,
yeah,
somebody, something, something.
That's
something.
Right, yeah. But Simone's been on a few times. Yeah, everybody loves Steve Simone. He's great.
He's a good guy. I'm going to be on there on the 28th.
You're coming. That's
25th,
right.
One of those Tuesdays.
Well, don't worry. We'll talk.
I'm happy. I try to get out there more. It's just, you know, people hit me up. I don't have Skype here. It's tough to really give your podcast the best attention if I'm doing 10 podcasts a week.
I agree.
And I did everybody's podcast for a while, and I said, you know what? I'm missing some of my own podcasts. Let me put some more effort. You know, me and Lee try to fucking give you the best we got. Now, you go on the road also a lot.
A little bit. I go on the road a little
bit. And Jay Larson's your partner.
That's right, Jay
Larson. And you go on the road with him also, or you do your own fucking thing?
Both. We've done Crab Feast stand-up shows where we've gone to, like, Seattle and Portland and done shows. And then I'm up at Sacramento this week, actually, at the Punchline up there Thursday to Saturday. You know, and I'll go do like a one-nighter in Chicago or something like that, all out of the podcast. I mean, it's been pretty
good for you.
Yeah, and you know, Tom Segura is, you know, who we both love. He's the one I talk to all the time about it. Like, you know, he's like, don't do that, do this, you know, and I listen to him. He knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Tom's a very smart guy. Yeah, he's doing very well. Yeah. I'm really happy.
He just shot a special the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seattle, right?
Right.
He's a great guy, Tom Segura. People have no idea. I like Tom because people like Tom aren't usually my friend. They fucking shy the other way. Tom sucks it all up. Tom is a great guy. I like people that take the fucking... I like when white people are crazy. That's what makes me happy. I like white people.
Well, that's why Jay and I work so well together. He's the same way. And, he's fucking great, too.
I don't like conservative white people.
No.
I've lived too long around them.
Yeah.
They drive me fucking
nuts.
Jay
just fucking tell you straight up. Like, you'll be like, you want to hear this shit? And he'll just be like, no, I don't want to fucking hear that shit right now. Like, he's just straight. He'll be straight.
Good.
Yeah, they're great.
I'm happy you're doing your thing. I'm happy everything's working out for you, man.
Thank you,
Joe.
You're
a great guy. And,
this was fun,
man. We were trying to exchange, get on your podcast.
I know.
I just
said,
hey,
forever.
Man, somebody canceled, get on here, and let's make it happen. So, thank you. Let me give a shout-out to our sponsors. I'll get you out of here. It's late. Lee got his fucking high. Lee, you got something to say, cocksucker?
Yeah, I'm going to Toronto this weekend, which is going to be really fun. I have a live Flying Jew ready. I'm going to get this high at the... have you been in the Underground in Toronto?
No.
We're going to have a live Flying Jew Radio with Derek Birch. And then on Saturday, I'm doing a podcasting seminar at the Comedy Bar. So go to leeside.com for tickets. I'm really excited. I'm just super high right now.
I know you're super high.
I have like 400 milligrams, but it's... I think it's really cool. And actually, I got Lipson to give people free hosting if you come. So it's go to leeside.com.
All right, listen, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the family. They're not going to be around, but they're a great fucking app. I mean, everybody who's people have told me that they're excited about us getting it.
It's really cool.
All right, you know your time is precious, and you want to feed your mind with the best of what's out there. Right? I know there's a corny fucking line, but I'm trying to get it right. You know, and there's a lot of nonsense on the internet. Listen, I like magazines. I don't know about you guys. I go to a dentist office and I pick up fucking People. My wife gets Rolling Stone at the fucking house. I've been reading Rolling Stone since day one. When I was a kid, I was a fucking cream guy. But you know what I like about Rolling Stone? I'm such a half of like a fag. The first 5 or 6 pages, they show you little events and people who are together and shit. And sometimes they have pretty good stories in there, you know? Yeah, I'm a Sports Illustrated guy. I'm over the bikini issue. you know, when you're 13.
Yeah, that was fun.
If you're 22 and you're still waiting for the bikini issue, you got fucking problems.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But it was just, you told me about it and I downloaded it. It just, you can download like back issues. It takes like 3 seconds and you have like the full magazine. Like sometimes, like I'm sick of reading just like text articles. Like I like actually looking at the like the pictures.
You want the whole magazine.
Yeah.
And next issue gives you this.
Yeah, no, it gives you, yeah, it gives you the whole magazine.
And they give you magazines like People, Vogue, Esquire, Time, and they let you dive deeper into the story with interactive content for richer reading experience. Sign up for next issue right now. You'll get immediate access to all the top magazines, including back issues and exclusive videos and photos and stuff like that. Let me tell you what's on here, right? Like, for example, let's say you want to read...
They got Maxim, they got ESPN the magazine.
They got US Weekly, they got Time, they got The New Yorker, they got Sports Illustrated, they got People, they got Newsweek, they got Hello Canada for you Canadians up there. See, I'm always thinking of you cocksuckers. They got the Bloomberg Business Week. I mean, this is the real deal. Lee, when you fly, what do? Before you fly, you want to read your magazines on your phone? Hell yeah. What do? They got Car and Driver, they got Clean Eating.
When you sign up for the app, it takes you like what ones of these do you look good? And magazines are expensive, so I wouldn't buy all these magazines, but I just clicked all of them, and you can just scroll. They have they can recommend articles to you, or you can just go and click on whatever one you want to read. It was legitimately pretty cool.
Now the best part about this is Next Issue is offering you a free trial right now when you go to nextissue.com/Joey in capitals, all right? Again, you can try Next Issue free right now when you go to nextissue.com/Joey in capital letters, all right? Give it a shot. Have I ever fucking steered you wrong, people?
And it's free.
And it's free. Go to nextissue.com/Joey for a free ride, all right? Number two, you know me, Hitty Six, always bring you the best in fucking e-smoke. Why? 1,200 guaranteed puffs. You're not going to get that from fucking some store. If not, you got to fill it up yourself at home. You got shit on your desk. You're a businessman. You ain't got time to have fucking oil and sit there like fucking Johnny Buddha. Go to Hitty Cigs right now and get 5 Hitty Cigs for 50 fucking bucks. You understand me? 5 for 50. You get 4 cigars and a 24-milligram cigarette. You can do whatever the fuck you want. 5 for 50. Go to Hitty Cigs right now and press in.
Joey's Church.
Boom! And get 5 for 50. Number two. On it. I ain't going to tell you again. Let me get those, my brother, there. Look at these fucking things. Alpha Brain, complete earth-grown nootropic. You understand me? We ain't fucking around here today. On it, plus Alpha GPC and AC11. This is the real deal, holy fear. You can't think this shit. You're forgetting stuff. You don't know whether you want to eat a pussy. You're not decisive. Go for Alpha Brain right now. 100% money-back guarantee. If you don't like the product, we don't even want the fucking product back. Nobody does that. That's why I believe it. Orby believes in this product. So do me a favor. Go to Onnit and look at the great selection of supplements they got. I can't give you a deal on the barbells and the fucking ropes and the vest. But as far as supplements are concerned, I'll get you 10% off. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom! Get the 10% off your first order. I ate 3 stars. I'm a little fucking parched right now.
I ate 3.5.
Shut up. I'm going to tell people. The feds are listening. Number three, NailedItLife.com right now. Listen, don't worry about nothing. Listen, NailedItLife.com right now. Let's say you're into vapor smoke, and let's say you're into edibles. You live in California. Nailed It Life has the best selection of vapor pipes, all this fucking thing, the scrapers. But the reason why I like them is their vapor pen. They ain't fucking around. 100% money back guarantee, and they give you 20% off your first order. So the vapor pen is 50, you're going to get it for 40 bucks. Money talks and bullshit walks. It's Monday. We ain't got time for chitter chatter, motherfuckers. Go to nailedatlife.com and press in.
Joey Diaz.
Boom! And get 20% off your first order on the vapor pen. The edibles, you got to live in California, so don't be a fucking dumb fuck and hit me up. Joey, I live in Illinois. Will they send it out to me? The only thing you're getting is a bomb in the mail, you dumb fuck. On it, a shout out. I love you guys. Next issue, welcome aboard. Please go to nextissue.com/Joey and get your free subscription right now. Hit these cigs, you know me, 5 for 50, and nailedatlife.com. Gumis Hermanos. One more time. Excuse me, I'm getting gas. One more time, my main man, motherfucking Ryan Sickler. He'll be at the Sacramento Punchline this weekend.
That's right.
Throwing some fucking heat up there. It's a great club. They got great wings. The waitresses are hot. The tall blonde one's always throwing heat. She got those fucking thighs. She gets in the head scissor. It's all over but the shout. When was the last time somebody got you in a head scissor, fucking Ryan Sickler?
It's been a minute.
All right. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm at the DC Improv. You know me. Spreading the love in the nation's capital. Smoking big reefer. A shout out to my girl, Mrs. Obama. You know I love you. I'm looking for that ass. I'm looking for that presidential little muffler. I'll sniff that motherfucker like I own it. I'll put some nose. When's the last time somebody put that nose in your muffler and sang the fucking national anthem? Dun, dun, dun. What's up, Lee? You're sitting there like
no, a fucking... No, the feds are definitely going to be listening to this
one. You're sitting there like a fucking half a dunce. It's Monday night.
Half a dunce.
Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters. I want to thank Ryan Sickler one more time. I want to thank the Flying Jew, Lee Syatt. I want to thank myself. But most importantly, I want to thank you bad motherfuckers for staying up tonight and watching the church and what's happening now. Stay black. Have a good week. See you in a few days. Lee, what's the problem here?
I'm going to do the ads. Hold on. Next issue is the mobile app that lets you tap directly into the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere using your phone or tablet. Best part, Next Issue is offering a free trial right now when you go to nextissue.com/Joey. Go to nailedatlife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off the premier vapor pen on the market for oil and wax smokers.
The premier vapor pen, bitches. Some hokey pokey shit you got at the local pharmacy. All right, come on, close it up.
I'm trying.
We got to shoot a video still. We got to do things.
We're doing that now? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got to do it now. Okay. We're going to do it tomorrow. We got to stall this guy. Come on, close it up.
Go to hitesigs.com and use code word Joey's Church to get 5 hit e-cigs for $50. And go to honor.com and use code word Church to get 10% off all the great optimization products.
What you gonna do? Time's caught up with you. Now you wait your turn. You know there's no return. Take your little boots. You join the other fools. Turn to something new. Now it's killing you. First it was the Vietnam, Nepal, disillusioning. You push the needle in.
your skin starts turning green. Your eyes no longer see. Life's reality. Start spinning round. You fall down to the ground. Feel your body heave. Death hand starts to weave.